about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, podcast listeners. This episode has lots of jokes. Some people might find the jokes offensive. If you're listening with young kids, you might want to save this for later.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Do you or do you not want to run with the big dogs?
I want to run with the big dogs.
Yeah, you do. And sometimes when you're a big dog, you got to learn how to wear a muzzle. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Are we hearing each other?
Yeah. Well, you're not hearing me because I got a muzzle on.
Right. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
Good work.
Zip it, lock it, keep it in my pocket.
And now.
Oh, computer. Are there any firewall restrictions or am I free to use my best judgment? Craigslist Casual Encounters is blocked? What is this, North Korea?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 14th of December.
It is.
What's up?
What is up? Pretty short night.
Yeah.
Yeah, had a thing last night.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So impressed with that show last night. Both nights. So impressed.
The thing was good.
Yeah. I mean, 22 bands over two nights, and it pretty much went off like clockwork. And I didn't hear – there wasn't one act that I heard somebody say, wow, they were bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Everybody was really good. And I'm not just hyping the thing. There's no need to hype it. It's over. I'm just telling you, from somebody who was there, I couldn't believe how talented so many of our artists are.
Yeah.
That was my takeaway.
It's a good takeaway. It's very positive.
Yeah, very positive.
That's what he's known for.
I know, but it's strange
to see
it. He is
Mr. Positive.
Strange to see it in person.
Who was your favorite, Allie?
I liked Elle King a lot, and I hadn't known much about her. I had heard her album, thought it was good,
mm-hmm.
but her live, that voice is incredible.
Yeah,
and
indeed.
Quite the stage presence, too.
I want to hear her sing with Panic at the Disco now. I want to put those two voices together.
Every single time Panic plays, whether it's Weenie Roast, anything that there's other bands, I don't think people are prepared for Panic.
Yes.
I don't think people know how good they're going to be.
While they were playing, I was like, I'm sure glad I'm not in Cold War Kids right now because they have to come up next.
And they were fine, too.
Yeah, they were good.
But you just don't want to follow Panic at the Disco.
Yeah.
So anyway, we are going to be recapping and talking about and playing some tape and a lot of stuff from Acoustic Christmas. But thank you to everybody who came out. Before we get started on the show, though, I do have a story. And this is this happened in Coachella, by the way.
Right.
This is a guy who tried to carjack a FedEx truck, which if you're going to carjack a vehicle, if you're a bad guy and you're looking for stuff to steal, that's a good choice. 2 weeks before Christmas, FedEx truck, imagine the riches.
Chock full.
Yeah. What are you laughing at?
The ridges.
Yes, there's so much valuable stuff that people are going to be sending this time
of year. It's a big trunk with a lot of gold.
It's not a shipwreck, Kevin. I'm just saying people ship, you know, they ship it via FedEx, a lot of valuable presents. Right. All right. So authorities in Riverside County, California said Mr. Albert Luna tried to carjack the FedEx truck in Coachella on Saturday evening. A FedEx driver was getting a package out of the trunk. Hold on. When Luna demanded the keys, Luna was completely naked at the time, is thing one.
All right.
Ooh.
Now, that's a choice, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Probably not a good one, but
there's not
a choice.
Nearly enough information because I want 100,000 words on this. But what do you suppose is going on there? Like, what makes a naked guy decide to carjack a truck? Because that can't be your ideal. Yes.
I got it. Drugs.
So you think he was on something. Honked up, naked, and then just at spur of the moment, I'm going to steal this truck.
Yeah.
It wasn't his intention when he left the house naked to steal a truck.
No,
just
he's probably
dawned
just
on him.
Taking a walk.
Yeah.
All right, so he's
a stroll.
He's bare-ass naked. Next question. The driver handed over the keys and ran to the nearby home to report the incident. He was not injured. Why would the driver hand over the keys to a naked man who clearly doesn't have a weapon? What's he going to do to him?
It
might be a weapon. But, I mean, it seems like the risk – and I know maybe that's just the training the FedEx driver has is if somebody tries to rob you, just give. But it just seems like a naked guy is not much of a threat.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd probably laugh and then get
in your
truck
and drive away.
Yeah.
Right? So, again, another question not answered for me in this article. So he hands over the keys, reports the incident. Police say Luna put the keys in the truck so he could drive away but was unable to drive the vehicle. So he ran away from the scene still naked. This goes back to the conversation we had about how very few people know how to drive a standard shift automobile anymore. And driving a FedEx truck, I imagine, is even tougher because it's a truck and it has more gears. And it's probably a little bit more complicated for a guy to just slip into and know how to drive.
Right.
So he couldn't have predicted that either.
This was a horrible heist.
It was a bad day,
That's
man.
A fail right there.
That is a fail. So, yeah, he could not drive the car. Investigators tracked down Mr. Luna at his home the next day based on the driver's description. Now, that's a surprise to me as well. I want to know how that worked. How did they find the guy based on, well, he looked like he was in his 20s. He was, here's his picture. I mean, could you describe that guy well enough that somebody could find him?
No, he's every guy in
Riverside. He's every guy in Riverside, exactly. At least he's wearing a T-shirt in his booking photo. So anyway, he's in the Riverside County Jail on $60,000 bond. But I just the Riverside website did not mention whether Mr. Luna was dressed at the time of the arrest or not. So we don't know if he got dressed when he went home. But I just, again, too many questions.
Yeah.
But I hope Albert keeps doing what he's doing because
he does good work.
I feel like he's making a lot of excellent choices.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
Yes, yes, yes. Right. Giddy.
On the program today, like Bean mentioned, we have a recap of Acoustic Christmas. Got some interviews that we did backstage. Mm-hmm. Not all of them good. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Sure.
On the program today, awkward celebrity encounters, which seems to happen a lot. So we're going to talk about that today.
It's a moment that is fraught with danger. Mm-hmm. It could go badly.
Right. So sometimes it's not perfect. And we're going to focus on the fact that sometimes, and then when it's not perfect, they call.
Yes.
Says over-explaining Bean.
You don't get it,
man. Andrew Siciliano is on the show today.
Asshole.
Talking about the NFL weekend. We have top 10 drops of the year.
Yes.
Yes. You're correct, sir. And we have tickets for... some movie. So
Taint Wars.
Nope. Star Wars. Not Taint Wars. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the showbiz beat day. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
Woo! All right. The bad news is it's Monday morning and it's butt-ass early. But the good news is Ralph Garman is here, ladies and gentlemen. Our first look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin
and
Bean Show.
That is good news.
That is the good news.
For everyone except me.
Right.
Because that means I'm up at butt-ass early.
Yeah. What is butt-ass early?
I'm not sure. Because
butt and ass are the same thing, aren't they?
Sure, it's full of riches, whatever it is.
Come on.
B-Dog's like a 1920s archaeologist.
He does.
I believe that pyramid is full of riches. Let's go in there and find something.
Did anyone not understand that I was referring to there were valuables in the FedEx truck?
Yeah, we understand.
Then what's the problem?
Riches.
Use the phrase riches anymore. Unless you're...
You guys got to remember that I translate everything from my native language.
Oh,
so
that's true.
I'm just doing the best I can.
All right, let's take a look at who went to see what over the weekend as we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Something we do every Monday, just to give you an idea of what people are interested in seeing. I know what they're not interested in seeing. A big whale taking on Thor. They're not interested in that.
Yeah, this is...
Nobody went to that?
Ron Howard's whale movie, In the Heart of the Sea, was the only major movie opening up at the box office this weekend. And it showed up at number 2, which is good news. The bad news is it made a paltry $11 million.
And they advertised the crap out of that, and it has big stars, big director.
It cost a lot of money.
So
it looks like most people are just sitting home waiting for Star Wars to break later this week. Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2 was actually number 1 with a little over $11 million. Then In the Heart of the Sea, The Good Dinosaur, Creed, and Krampus were your top 5 movies at the box office. Spectre, the night before. The Peanuts movie, Spotlight, and Brooklyn rounding out your top 10. Speaking of Star Wars... Surprise, surprise. They had a special Star Wars The Force Awakens fan event in Sydney, Australia.
Taint Wars.
Last week, no, Star Wars. Everyone was enjoying the screening. They're watching the movie. They're loving it. 10 minutes of the movie were screened in Sydney for fans who had gathered for this con. Lights come up. Spotlight hits the audience. Who's sitting there? Harrison Ford.
So weird.
He's selling the crap out of this thing.
He's the belle of the ball, that guy.
As you can imagine, fans were amazed to have Han Solo sitting there in the crowd with them. And he got up and he said, let's make a deal. Don't tell your friends what you've seen here today regarding the 10 minutes of footage that they were treated to. Fans, of course, will be able to find out this weekend for themselves since the film opens Thursday night. And the premiere, of course, is tonight in Los Angeles, Hollywood Boulevard. It's a big date.
Streets have been closed since June for this, right?
They're pulling no punch. Big date for Star Wars fans. In fact, for some fans, like Ali, it's the only date. So they'll be enjoying themselves. Oh. Hi, Ali.
Hi, Ralph.
Ali, why are you not going tonight? You have show business connections. Yeah. Why didn't you wheel and deal?
Yeah.
Is the question.
I don't think anyone with huge showbiz connections is going tonight. You have to be really, really special. Like
really?
Kevin Smith. Really? Who's not
He's
going.
He's not going. He can't go.
This is why you failed.
But that's the Thank caliber of star. You need to be at least at that level to get an invitation for this. Is that what you're saying? There's no way to.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe Willard Scott will be there. Oh. He's got some free time. Willard Scott has announced he's retiring. I haven't seen Willard Scott on television in 20 years. If he hasn't been retired, what's he been doing and where have they been keeping him?
All right. I can answer that question,
of
by the
course
way.
You of can, course you can, because he's 81. Well, he's right in your wheelhouse.
And he's a former radio guy.
Is he on The View?
I keep track. No, he's on The Today Show, but they replaced him with, what's-his-face all those years ago?
Poopy
Al Roker.
Pants.
Al Roker. Poopy Pants, yeah.
Yeah. Like 30 years ago, they replaced him with Al Roker.
Yeah, Al Roker.
So that's when he retired.
Right.
It was 30
but
years
still,
ago.
They still throw it to Willard. Several times a week.
They don't throw anything at Willard. He's 81 and he'd break a hip.
He's just standing out in the front yard of his senior condominium or whatever, and he wishes people who turn 100 happy birthday. That's what they're. He's kind of like the weatherman emeritus.
That's what he does is he wishes people who are 100 happy birthday?
That's what he does, yes.
What kind of gig is that?
That's all he does? That's all he does. It's a gig where he was on the show for a long time, and he's popular, and people like him, and it's a feature that is warm and fuzzy, so they've kept it going. It doesn't hurt them to throw him 3 minutes every few days.
But what's the point? You don't need that.
That job doesn't exist anywhere
else.
And
it won't exist after Willard retires either.
How happy would Bean be if he could just say happy birthday to 100-year-old people?
And I hope, because of the synergy of it, I'm sure you guys are with me on this, that Willard lives to be 100 so that he can then be greeted on the Today Show for making it to 100. That would be the coolest thing ever.
Would it?
Yes.
Really? Define coolest thing ever.
Well, anyway. He was, as you know, Ralph, he was the first Ronald McDonald.
Really?
Willard Scott was.
Mm-hmm.
Willard Scott has been with NBC for 65 years. Wow. It's a long time in one joint.
Can I give you another Willard Scott
fact? Stop it. We've already done it.
He was the first radio DJ I ever met.
Shut the hell up.
Willard Scott. I shook his hand. I rode my bike down to a live car remote, a broadcast he was doing from an auto dealership.
Shut your mouth.
To watch him do his radio show and met him. Little tiny 12-year-old Bean or whatever I was, shaking hands with the great Willard Scott.
Hey, how about a little less questions and a little more shut the hell up?
You tell terrible stories.
His final appearance on television will be tomorrow, in case you want to tune in today's show and see the first DJ that Bean ever shook hands with.
Is Bean going to be sobbing?
Of course he will.
Well, I am going to need tomorrow off, obviously.
Bean's going to take a personal day to the Today Show and fall over. Today's celebrity birthdays. Vanessa Hudgens celebrates her 27th birthday today. And singer for all-time low, Alex Gaskarth, celebrates 28. Not a big birthday day.
No.
Today the 14th. I'm going to do a little research, see what else I can come up with. I'm Ralph Garman. I can walk... What? Yep. And I walked the showbiz beat.
This guy stole your song, Allie.
He did. I was ready to go.
Why didn't Allie get to go up on stage and sing that with 21 Pilots last night?
She was on stage when they did it and was ready.
She was ready,
but they just didn't. You didn't get the call.
It's fine.
Yeah, they didn't go to the bullpen. They should have.
Yeah, they messed up.
By the way, I didn't see it, but I heard a lot of people talking about how some guy, the drummer, crowd surfed?
Yep.
How did that work? How do you crowd surf with drums?
They had like a magic carpet. I don't know how to describe it, but it wasn't just like a guy on somebody's shoulders. It was actually a bunch of people holding it up, and he was on one side, and the singer was on the other side, and they were both
you know, on top of the audience.
Yes.
While they were performing.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It was cool.
It's like witchcraft.
Yeah. Well, I heard it's a magic carpet. So, yeah, a lot of highlights you can find at KROQ.com of, you know, performances and interviews and whatnot from the weekend. It was super, super fun. We had a chance to talk to a bunch of people while we were there. And I think we have a couple of clips, right?
Yeah. We have Silver Sun Pickups.
Silver Sun Pickups, who I love so much. They're the nicest people in the world. We've been so lucky to have them on a bunch of KROQ shows over the years. And we were talking to them about, you know, it's still, even though it's been a couple of years now, it's still the freaking forum. And we're all kind of wrapping our heads around the fact that we get to have Acoustic Christmas at this legendary location. And that's what we talked to them about. Yeah. What it means to play the forum tonight.
Big deal.
Big,
yeah.
Huge.
Big
Look
deal.
At this shirt. Y'all, you can't see.
I see your Lakers shirt.
School.
That's old school.
Lakers.
Old school
Lakers shirt.
Sweet.
I rolled out of the bus this morning and looked at it and just couldn't believe it. It's so pretty also.
When you hear the word the forum, who's the band you remember seeing here or will be thinking about tonight when you take the stage?
Nirvana.
Nirvana. Yeah. I was really young on the floor. With Butthole Surfers and Chuck Bohr, that band, and yeah. Bobcat Goldthwait.
Was the MC.
That's so funny. We've talked to Bobcat many times about opening for Nirvana.
Oh, yeah. He was amazing, too. He was kind of incredible, but it was such a weird idea, and it was the In Utero, obviously. And I remember somebody threw a shoe and hit Kurt Cobain in with a... He had an acoustic guitar that about to play Polly. And somebody hit him with a shoe. And, you know, we were all going, oh, boy. You
it's
know.
About to go down.
And he just went... Tisk tisk, and then played the song. Just that all. You know, everybody, the whole forum was.
Well, isn't it cool to know that there's a kid who's out there in the crowd tonight who's going to be doing an interview 10 years from now, and he's going to be like, "Dude, I was at that Acoustic Christmas and saw Silver Sun Pickups. It was awesome.
Yeah,
and
like,
I threw my shoe and I hit that guy.
And he goes, and it was the last time anyone's ever seen them.
What's the thought process there?
What do you mean, of throwing a shoe at Kurt Cobain?
The shoe thrower, yes.
I don't know.
What you go, oh, you know what? I have one too many shoes. I'm going to take one off.
And you've also paid to go see a band.
Yeah.
Like, why throw something at them? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know. A lot of bad choices are being made. So we also, and by the way, love the Silver Sun Pickups again. They were great. Andrew McMahon and his Wilderness were there last night.
Yep.
What a super nice guy. What a super talented guy. And I was reminded yesterday that he has been in other bands that we played here on KROQ. Jack's Mannequin was a band of his that he ran and wrote songs for. Something Corporate was another band. So this is kind of the third incarnation of Andrew McMahon. But he showed up last night, and on his piano, he had grass. Well, technically AstroTurf, which you don't see very often. We talked to him about that.
I'm a fan of AstroTurf. I have AstroTurf at my house, and I have AstroTurf on my stage. This is my thing, apparently.
Did you
no
think
idea.
Tonight you'd hear the words, I'm a fan of AstroTurf?
No, I've never heard those words before. Unfortunately, Chip lost the audio, where Bean then goes into a long, long interview about Andrew McMahon and his socks, his sockless shoes. And well, like, I don't know, man. I think that would hurt.
He was wearing what looked like shoes with no socks, like leather shoes with no socks, which seems like it would be very uncomfortable.
And shorter pants, so you really got a good look at the ankle.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was ankle porn. But he revealed that he actually was wearing little baby socks that we couldn't see. Yeah. And I was just fascinated by that choice. He was very stylish, that Andrew McMahon. Very stylish.
But I feel like you were looking at it going, hey, maybe that's for me.
Yeah.
And it isn't.
I think sometimes about wearing leather shoes, I just don't do it very often. And part of the reason I don't is because I always just wear regular white socks, which apparently look terrible with dress shoes.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of looking for a way that I can spiff up my shoes occasionally without the sock factor. And I thought maybe Andrew McMahon solved that problem for me last night. I just I still feel like I'm not quite bold enough to go there yet.
Plus, you were getting fashion advice while looking at him wearing pigtails.
Yeah, what
I
happened?
I think that's something that needs to be addressed. What? Because he's trying to have a real conversation about fashion with a man in pigtails.
What did I tell you yesterday? Pigtails are a party for your head. What were we doing last night? We were partying. It was rock and roll. Now, the other thing.
Asshole.
How dare you? The other thing that happened, and by the way, we should have included some phone calls here, but maybe we'll have a chance to do that later, because I'm sure everybody who went to Acoustic Christmas this weekend probably has their own stories. The other thing that was very weird at the show last night, and I don't think this was talked about on the air, was I think KROQ's heart was in the right place. In that the intention was, hey, let's not forget a week ago we lost a man who was very close to KROQ, a guy who had played numerous Acoustic Christmases in Weenie Rose in the past, our friend Scott Weiland. And I mean no disrespect to Scott by what I'm about to say, because we sincerely loved him and miss him. But it was
it was awkward in the room when you're in a party atmosphere, band, 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 go, 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 lights go down, and the video screen comes up. And, Kevin, why don't you explain what it is the audience saw?
Well, I mean, it was basically like 40 seconds of him singing and Dr. Drew talking about how bad drugs are and how serious addiction is, and then it just fades to black. And you just go, well, that was the biggest bummer ever.
Yeah.
And we were with the guy that put it together, Lightning, and he's like, yeah, yeah, watch this, watch this. And we looked at him like, is that the end? Why wouldn't you put, you know, R.I.P. or anything else up there? And then Cat, poor Cat Corbett, had to walk out on stage right after that.
Hey, who feels like partying now that Dr. Bummer just came on and gave us a drug lecture in the middle of the show? Yeah, I think the R.I.P. Scott Mason, whatever, Scott Weiland, whatever his birth date was, and then 2015, I think that would have been like a transition. It would have given us a way to kind of feel like the thing ended.
Right.
You know what I mean? The way it was, where it just kind of faded to black, it just kind of left you sitting there just, you know, just staring at the ground going, oh, man.
Oh, well, that sucks.
That sucks. And then what poor band had to come out afterwards? Do you remember?
I don't even remember, no.
Somebody had to win the audience back, I'll tell you that, because everybody was out there either weeping or throwing their drugs away. And that was also weird because it wasn't a, here's a tribute to the years of great music
right, here's
that
some
Scott
highlights.
Wiley gave us.
Right.
It was literally Dr. Drew just wagging his finger at you going, hey, you, don't do drugs. Which is kind of just a weird thing to pop up in the middle of a big rock show.
And then you're half the man I used to be, and then it just fades, and you go, wow.
Yeah.
I want to open a vein right now.
No, it was a super bummer moment. But like I said, I think their intention was it was just a way to honor Scott. As that, it just played a little weird.
A swing and a miss.
But I got to tell you, I mean, you think about 22 bands over two nights, very few missteps. At least those that were our fault, you know.
Well, that one was the big one.
Yeah, it was K-Rock's fault. The bands were great. They were all great. So Star Wars screening passes for you today on the Kevin and Bean Show, so stick around for that. Monday morning means we catch up with our good friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey. How's it going, man?
I'm good, guys. Good morning.
Great to talk to you. Hey, I didn't see your little friend Dax at Acoustic Christmas last night, and I usually do see him. I was wondering if he went or if any of the other members of your staff were at the shows this weekend.
Hey, Dax, they want to know, Kevin Bean wants to know why you weren't at Acoustic Christmas. He was.
He was. All right.
He what? He says he's hurting this morning, and he's also sad that you ignored him.
Well, we didn't see him. We didn't see him. Everybody who's up at this time, who went to that show last night, is hurting a little bit. So Dax has got a lot of good company. All right, let's talk about what's new at TMZ.com. I was very excited to see your Ronda Rousey story. I want you to tell me everything you know about her coming out, basically, to the Marine Ball that she had promised that she'd go with, because she has really not been seen in public since she lost that fight, right?
No, and by the way, boy, was this a huge UFC weekend, both in and out of the octagon.
Yeah. No kidding.
I mean, a lot of stuff happened. But with Ronda, she went to the Marine Corps ball. Remember, she was asked by a Lance Corporal if she would be his date, and she said yes, and this is before she lost to Holly Holm. I will tell you, I don't know how much you followed it on the site, but we put a video up on Saturday morning, and it was so sad. And she was saying, we got a really early, I think it actually was Friday, where she was just really sad, and she said she was going to go to the ball, because if she didn't, all she'd do is eat ice cream on the sofa and cry.
Oh, no.
And by the way, she seemed serious. And so we got her on the way back, landing at LAX after the ball. She had a good time. We put pictures of her and the guy up at on our website. She seemed to have a good time. And she came back, and she said she wouldn't have missed this. But she did also say that it was nice to to smile finally.
Yeah.
So she has taken this super hard. And on Dana White came on TMZ Sports late last week and said, look, he said, I'm not going to lie, it's really tough for her because she is a champion. She's used to never losing, and this was a big one to take.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you saw the ESPN profile piece that they did on her last week, but, I mean, she essentially has not left her house. I mean, she hasn't trained. She has. I mean, she's not joking when she says she just lays on the couch and cries and eats ice cream.
Devastated.
And I haven't seen the video yet, but how does her face look?
Face looks fine.
She doesn't look like she's having any trouble talking, because the way this article made it sound like she had lost teeth and she was really, really hurt.
No, she seemed fine. Honestly, I mean, go inside. She looks totally fine.
Oh, that's great. All right, let's talk about Connor. The least surprising headline in the history of TMZ, we laughed out loud when we saw it this morning, was that he partied hard after that fight on Saturday, because we all know what Conor's like. And he had a lot to celebrate about. For folks who didn't see, he won in 13 seconds against Jose Aldo, which was just an unbelievable upset, one of the biggest fights in UFC history. What was the after party like, Harvey?
Well, I mean, look, it was what you would think it would be like. I mean, it was, he was, first of all, he didn't break a sweat. Obviously, in the fight,
right?
And he was at the slot machines really, really fast. He was out with Swiss Beats, with some other people from UFC, but they just really they partied hard. I mean, it wasn't like he had to worry about his face or he was bruised or anything. He got hit one time,
right?
Although I got to say, he got hit pretty good that one time.
Yeah, for a guy who was falling to the canvas, I was really impressed with how much he put on that as he went down.
That was really, I got to say, I was so fascinated by that, because it looked like it almost looked like a simultaneous punch. That was amazing. But he was fine. I mean, he partied like crazy, thanked the Irish people for supporting him. I mean, he's really into his homeland. And you know, he had a great time.
He must have had a tremendous amount of energy just because he trained so hard. He was ready to go five rounds, and then after 13 seconds, he just must have...
No, he wasn't ready to go five rounds. He said, I mean, if you listen to him, it was great. He said... Yeah, he said, I did it in 13 seconds, but he said, nobody can survive my left hook. So he said he would have gone down sooner or later.
His whole career, yeah.
His prediction was 4 minutes. That's what he was saying before the fight, is he thought he was going to take him out within 4 minutes. So don't you love, Harvey, in your line of work, don't you wish there were more celebrities as colorful and outspoken and funny as Conor McGregor?
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the office. He was on TMZ. He's been on TMZ Sports a bunch of times, and he's been here, and I've met him. And he's, you know, he is who he is. I mean, that's the guy. It's not even an act that much.
Yeah.
I mean, he is who he is. And, you know, he is the star of UFC without a doubt. He is the guy. He is the guy. And there are other stars there, but he's the star.
All right, real quick.
And by the way, and very sympathetic to Ronda Rousey.
Oh, sure. Yeah. We're almost out of time. By the way, Harvey, I don't know if you watched the fight, but the fight before Conor's fight was the bloodiest fight I've ever seen at UFC when Chris Weidman lost.
Weidman?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I couldn't even watch that.
It was terrifying. And I mean, I don't know what the rules are of when you call a fight.
Well, they said they wanted to there were a lot of people who felt it should have been stopped in the third round. And
he wasn't fighting back. That was the thing. He was just getting his face pummeled, waiting for the clock to run out. And you're just like, dude, have mercy at some point. Yeah. It was something
else. A lot of people thought that was going to happen.
All right. Last question real quick. And we usually don't care about Kris Jenner, but I hope she's going to lose this lawsuit. Could you explain what's going on?
Yeah, I hate to disappoint you, but I don't think that's going to happen. She she registered #ProudMama. And she wants to use it for advertising purposes. So, again, she's trying to, like, Pac-Man up all these phrases where she can make money. And there's a jewelry store that has the phrase Proud Mama trademarked. So we talked to their people and their lawyer, and they said, we are protecting this with a vengeance. And if she dares try to use #ProudMama, we're going to go after her. And so she's expressed an intention to use it, we found out. But... if she files the papers, they're going to challenge it. My guess is, in a situation like this, everybody has a price. And what Kris is doing is she's setting this up so that she can open her checkbook and buy it out from them if she wants to.
Because however much money the Proud Mama people have, she has more. So they probably will think, do I really want to get involved in a years-long lawsuit that's going to cost me a lot of money?
Well, or not even that. It's like, okay, you own Proud Mama. I'll give you $1,000. No, I'll give you $5,000. No, I'll give you $100,000. No, I'll give you $500,000. You know, I mean, at a point, they change their mind.
Yeah, but why does she need Proud Mama?
Well, okay, I can only answer so many questions.
Yeah.
All right, TMZ.com is where you want to go. Of course, don't miss the TMZ TV show all throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. TMZ Live airs at 4, and TMZ Sports with its new home on Fox Sports 1 Fridays at midnight. By the way, Harvey, this is our last visit for 2015.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
I'm afraid so, but I wanted to personally thank you for another great year of being on the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate your time so much. We know how busy you are.
I love you guys so much. I can't tell you how many people stop me and say, oh, I listen to you and Kevin and Bean all the time. It's amazing.
Well,
it's like, have you ever seen our TV show? Why is it always Kevin and Bean?
Well, we very much appreciate the hard work that you and the staff do 24 hours of every single day.
So as long as you're saying it's the last one, can I do one more plug?
Yes. Sure. Yeah.
Oh, good. So two weeks from today, we are going to premiere on Channel 13 in Los Angeles at 5:30 in the afternoon for this game show we were talking about, South of Wilshire, which is guys, I swear to you, we've been working on this for 5 months. It's so fun. And we go into all the areas in L.A., like, you know, Compton and Inglewood and Baldwin Hills and the Crenshaw District, all sorts of places. And we go in where these celebrities go that you would have no idea they go there, but big celebrities go down there to hang, and they give clues about who these celebrities are, and then we play the game at Doolin Soul Food Restaurant on 50th and Crenshaw, and it is so different and so fun. It's a really, really fun game, and it's on Channel 13, 5:30, beginning 2 weeks from today, January 4th.
That sounds like the strangest show ever.
That's insane.
All right.
It's so fun.
All right. Well, we will look for it, and we thank you, and happy holidays to you and your staff and your family and everybody.
Holiday,
all right, man.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Holiday. See ya.
Thank you. Hey, party people, thanks so much for tuning in on a Monday morning. I am the king of haircuts. I think I've been making some good choices with my hair lately.
Sure.
I think you guys would agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't know that this guy, Alberto Olmedo, is for me, though. His techniques, I don't know, seem a little unorthodox. I'm not sure I'm ready to put my head and my hair in his hands.
Well, I mean, he does use swords.
And blowtorches.
And a blowtorch.
Yeah.
To cut your hair. He is a Spanish hairdresser who has a salon in Madrid. He admits his methods are a bit medieval. And here's my favorite part. But he claims it's the only way to get both sides of a haircut mathematically exact and completely even. Now, haven't people been cutting your hair mathematically exact with scissors for
I thought so.
Hundreds
until
of years?
I read this, and now obviously it hasn't been.
All right. We want to hear more about the swords and especially about the blowtorch. So why have us tell you about it when we can get Mr. Olmedo on the line with us right now from Madrid? Hello, sir. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
We're doing fine. So you are the Edward Scissorhands of hairdressers.
Well, that's what they say in so many articles.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not what I call myself.
What do you call yourself?
I call myself a hair sculptor.
Hair sculptor. Okay.
Yes. And I use sometimes unorthodox methods
to
achieve my results, but they're fabulous.
Okay. Why is a sword better to use for cutting hair than a pair of scissors?
Because when your hair will sharpen sharp, it is an exact blade you're cutting with, and crossing the blades creates a texture that you can't get on that way.
You can't get that with scissors?
No, you can't. Scissors, don't get me wrong, I'm using them right now on Brenda here.
Oh, okay.
They are an effective way for shortening hair.
Right.
But you must know, hair is a living thing.
Uh-huh.
It's not a dead thing.
Right.
And so you have to use all the forces of nature.
Okay. All right. Hey, we don't want to distract you if you've got a client there. Do you want to speak to us later, or is now okay, Alberto?
I can talk and do the same at the same time cutting.
What are you doing now? What's that noise you're
making? Those are with swords I was using.
Swords, okay.
I give Brenda hair texture and lift.
All right. Now tell us about what Ali brought up, which is that you use a blowtorch on some clients.
This next step I'm doing now is seal the ends of the hair once it has been cut.
Right.
Why? Why do you need to seal them?
Because hair is a living thing.
Yeah, you mentioned that, right?
And if you have split ends on the end of your hair, which I have split ends, this will seal the ends of the follicle.
Ends of the what?
The follicle.
Follicles.
Oh. Yes.
Follicles.
Oh, wow.
Holy crap!
Yes. Beautiful looking now for Brenda, and the smell is pungent.
What's the temperature of that blowtorch?
It is 1,300 degrees Celsius.
That's insane. That will kill a person.
I don't hit the whole person with the
blowtorch. Well, yeah, but it would seem like it'd be pretty easy to miss, you know? What about?
Well, I'm a professional, so.
You know, with your face on fire.
I don't put in face.
Okay, all right.
I use only on hair.
You're the expert, I guess.
And I have, these are these are techniques that I have perfected over the years.
Okay.
And I know I'm doing that.
Oh. Whoa, is that a chainsaw?
Chainsaw.
Oh, no. No, Alberto.
We have the excess hair on the one side, and then we must even it up on the other side.
Is that a machine gun?
Yes, that makes the hair fluffy. Now we add this.
What? Is that a donkey?
I have donkey chew off some of the hair for layers.
That can't
then
be.
Then to add volume.
Those firecrackers?
Firecrackers on the head.
Wow.
And then I just...
What was that, Alberto?
What did you use a slide whistle for?
Just for fun. Then also...
Yes.
When a llama come by.
Right there in the shop, a llama.
And then just to tame the hair, I must use the whip.
Oh, man.
Get down hair. Be good hair now.
It's a lot of work.
Then, of course, I put it in my own essence.
Oh,
it makes me so excited.
Come on.
And now just a little of my own special hair.
No. This is terrible. Why would anyone go to this?
I call that my moose.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for the showbiz. What? What's going on? What's happening?
He died in 2011.
2011.
Yeah, I thought so. You know what may have happened? Let us take care of a little business here, you guys. Yeah. What may have happened is sometimes on anniversaries of death now, they post something online that says, so-and-so died this date 4 years ago. It kind of looks like a new
December
event.
December 7th, like 2011.
Obit. Okay. Yeah. So he's fine.
No, he's not.
I mean, he's dead.
He's been dead for 4 years.
All right. Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat. Let's see how much of this we can trust.
All right. It is Monday morning, so we look at the weekend's box office. Nobody went to the movies this weekend. Everybody was at Acoustic Christmas.
Well, I'm not sure that's true.
It is true.
In the country?
Yes.
Okay.
Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2 was the number one movie in the country, but only made $11 million over the weekend.
Wow. That is a low box office number one.
It really is. A little behind that was a brand new film, the only big movie to debut this weekend, In the Heart of the Sea. Ron Howard, the director of the tale that supposedly inspired the legendary novel Moby Dick, only made a little under $11 million in its debut. Not a good opening weekend for that film.
The complaint seems to be that you don't really get invested in very many of the characters. They're not very well fleshed out. And that the special effects are pretty janky.
But as I live and breathe...
Well, that does have that line.
I will have him! That move, that's got that in it.
It does.
What
it
more
does.
Do you need?
It's tough to argue.
Than living and breathing.
And you had Thor in it, too.
Right.
Still people wouldn't go.
He's his hammer. People aren't interested unless he's got a hammer. The Good Dinosaur was third. Creed and Krampus were your top five movies. Then Spectre, The Night Before, Peanuts movie, Spotlight, and Brooklyn rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Eva Longoria. She is hoping three times the charm. She's set to marry for the third time. This time I think it's really going to work.
Sure.
It's going to work out. She was previously married to Ernesto Arguello.
I'm sorry?
Arguello. And San Antonio Spur player, of course, Tony Parker was her most famous marriage. But she's marrying a gentleman named Jose Antonio Baston. And they're going to live happily ever after.
He's also known as the Edward Scissorhands of hairdressers.
No, I believe that was a different guy. Not that person at all. Congratulations to Jared Leto. He's the new face of Gucci. What's Gucci going to do with his old face? he is going to take over modeling duties from Chris Evans and Evan Rachel Wood to represent the company's new fragrance, Guilty.
Are you ready to get sexy?
Yeah. Guilty. Guilty. I don't know what he's charged with. Maybe being too sexy,
right?
Guilty is charged. Mike and Molly's going away after 6 seasons. Here's the thing. I forgot that Melissa McCarthy was even on a television show. She's such a big movie star that I just forgot that whole thing existed. But that was a very funny show, and it had a good run. But it seems like people are losing interest a little bit.
I can't say that I ever saw an episode of it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I ever did.
Kevin, did you ever see it?
I did, and because I love her, and right. she's great in it.
Billy right. Gardell's a funny guy, too.
Yeah, it was a really good show, but
it was
just,
charming.
Yeah.
It was. I guess it was fine. Never really stood out. It was typical CBS comedy, sort of a family, you know.
Right.
You know, nothing outstanding in terms of its premise, but I always thought it was really well executed and very funny. This hurts me, because I was so looking forward to it. I remember I told you they were doing a TV version of Urban Cowboy, the TV series Urban Cowboy,
yes. mm-hmm.
based on the famous John Travolta, Deborah Winger film. Fox has decided, after looking at the pilot, not to go forward with that. No! I can't believe someone in a network somewhere said, let's not make this mistake. Usually they just go right into the dumpster fire. But apparently someone, someplace said, this may not have been the best idea.
It is kind of, I mean, I guess Nashville covers the ground of country music for, you know, the show about country music. Because country music is, hard to believe, still one of the most popular formats in America. There's millions of people who love that world. I'm surprised there aren't more shows like Urban Cowboy or Nashville to kind of tap into that.
Well, even Nashville, I mean, as much as I enjoy the show, struggles really in the
ratings.
Right.
Every year
it seems to be on the bubble. And while we're talking television, you may want to check out Adele tonight. The big concert in New York City that happened on November the 17th was filmed, and NBC will be airing it tonight. It features every song off of her new album, 25, along with some of her other big hits, like Rolling in the Deep. And if you won't be near a TV, you can stream the show for free at NBC.com. So a lot of ways to get your Adele tonight, if you're so inclined. Live in New York City is the name of the special.
Ralph, did you see that she made announcements of North American Concert Tour for next year?
I did see that, yeah. In fact, we talked about it on something I like to call the Showbiz Beat.
Oh,
we had that conversation.
I got to start listening.
You were in the conversation.
I got Big Boy out of my headphones, though.
I understand. And there's big Nazi Barbie news.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, Taylor Nazi Barbie Swift will be releasing her concert film of her 1989 tour next Sunday, exclusively through Apple Music. Oh, I don't like Apple. Oh, now I like Apple. Oh, money. Here's the deal. In order to see it, you have to sign up for a free 3-month trial of Apple Music.
Not worth it.
If it's not worth it, it's free. See how that works? See how they get you, man? Remember 6 months ago when she was calling out Apple for not paying artist royalties during that 3-month free trial? Mm-hmm. Well, apparently they've all settled that because everyone's going to get rich.
Well, because they listened and they said, all right, let's start paying artist royalties in the first 3 months. So she said, okay, now I'm cool with you.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Look, these streaming services that offer, you know, that are looking to sign people up for monthly, they've got to come up with something exclusive. Just like Tidal's got that new Prince album from last week. If you want the Prince album, the only way to get it is to subscribe to Tidal. I mean, that's what they've got to do to bring people in. It's like you know, Netflix getting shows you can't see anywhere else.
Ralph, are you even listening to what Bean's saying?
What is she hiding? That's what I know. What is she hiding? What's really going on? It's like Big Pharma, man. You can't believe what they say. What's really happening under the current? You got to dig. Follow the money.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right
thank
there.
You, thank
Plus,
you.
If you're a Nazi Barbie, you're just not going out of your way to do nice things for people. Exactly. You've got to have an evil motive.
Some plan for a new world order or something. I mean, just wake up, you sheep. It's happening right under your noses.
I bet some of the people that watched that Taylor Swift concert will die, too,
I'm
by the
sure
way.
I'm sure they will.
Just from watching it.
I hope one of them does.
How dare you?
I mean, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Today's celebrity birthday is all-time low singer Alex Gasgarth celebrates 28 today. And Vanessa Hudgens is 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Still to come, screening passes for a little movie we like to call Star Wars. Why do we like to call it that?
It's the name of the movie.
It's the name of the movie, right?
Yeah.
Plus, we'll give you a Guitar Hero Live for either PlayStation or Xbox coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. That is all straight ahead. But first, I want to talk about something. I was sitting next to the delightful Mallory, Miss Double December 2016, at the show last night.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about our mutual love for Taylor Swift. And she was telling me how many times she's tried to meet Taylor Swift when she goes to the concert. She tries to figure out what way she's going to enter, where she's going to leave, where she's going to go when she's, you know, running around the arena doing the show, because she wants to meet Taylor Swift. And I started thinking about, lots of people have that feeling. I got to meet that celebrity. I have to tell them how much they mean to me, or I have to shake their hand, I have to get a picture, or whatever it is. Sometimes it doesn't go well. And sometimes maybe it's best to just be a fan from afar and not blow it.
Well, I think part of the problem is if it's somebody that you really, really love, you can't
summarize that. There's no way to talk about everything that person means to you. And right. So it just goes south.
And you just end up wasting their time because yeah. What are they really getting out? If you're a huge star, what are they getting out of? You know, if you're Tom Hanks and another person comes up and says, hey, I really enjoy your acting. You're so good. And you seem like a nice man. I mean, it's good. It's good that people feel that way. But you're kind of wasting their time. Like, what's Tom Hanks get out of that? Right?
Yeah.
Not much.
He's probably heard it 8,000 times 8,000 already that
right,
day.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of a delicate thing when you're in your mind, you're thinking, do I want to meet this person? And if so, why?
If they're a hero, I would think, yeah, just meet them, but lower your expectations. You're just going to say hi, and they'll never know how much you love them, but it's okay. Mm-hmm.
Although that wasn't the case when you met Magic Johnson, right?
Well, I mean,
I think that's something he's probably still thinking about because he's met a lot of Laker fans, but never one who really tried as hard as you did.
Yeah, we were at LA Live. There was a party. I didn't know he was there, and I bumped into him. So then I turned around with no time to think, bumped into Magic Johnson, and he was looking at me, smiling. And I said, you're great. That's what I was able to come up with. And he said, thank you very much. He was very kind and just happy and moved on. And I just walked right for the exit. I was like, oh, come on. You're great.
Now, do you wish you hadn't said anything?
No, I mean, he seemed like he received it well.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish I had said something better.
Right, exactly.
I wish something better came out of my mouth.
We're going to take calls, by the way. If you had an awkward celebrity encounter, you ran into somebody or maybe even went out of your way to try to meet someone and it left this reviewer cold. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Your awkward celebrity encounter, in retrospect, you wish it either hadn't happened or had happened differently. Allie?
Yeah. I was 16, working at Ben & Jerry's, and in walked John Bon Jovi. And I loved Bon Jovi.
Mm-hmm.
So my manager says, Allie, why don't you help this gentleman? I'm like, oh, okay. So as I'm scooping his order, I'm thinking, tell him how much you love him. Tell him you wanted to move to New Jersey to be near him. You love the song Silent Night. You want that at your wedding. Oh, just tell him. It'll be great.
My response to every one of those is don't tell him.
Yeah, I literally looked up and said, I scooped around and gave you extra cookie dough. And I handed it to him. And I walked away.
Well done.
I couldn't look at him. I couldn't take his money.
Really?
I walked directly to the back. And I heard my manager go, okay, is that it for your order? Couldn't even function after that. It's the worst.
Because you were embarrassed by what you said?
Yeah, it was a total.
Because what you said to him was actually pretty cool, which is, it's kind of the shorthand for, hey, I'm a big fan, so let me do something for you.
I mean, it was a loser move.
You didn't say it well.
No, I literally said, I scooped around and gave you extra cookie dough. So dumb.
Hey, Dave or Christine, could you pick up the phones in there real quick, please? Because we're taking some calls on this. 1-800-520-1067 for awkward celebrity encounters. So you wish you hadn't said anything at all?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Because it was that bad. And it was one of those, remember in Dirty Dancing when Baby Houseman said, I carried a watermelon. And then was like, oh. It was my I carried a watermelon moment. Just such, like he thought about it ever again.
Right.
But to me, what a loser.
You should have spent, instead of worrying about the ice cream, you should have spent a little more time trying to look 18 is what you should have been doing.
Dang it.
Right?
You're right.
Yeah. All right, Mugs.
So you all know my buddy Randy, right?
Sure.
Oh, Randy.
Randy's our favorite.
I was hanging out with him at this bar we go to all the time. And John Elway walks into the door.
Whoa, that's a big name.
Everybody notices. So Randy takes it upon himself to walk up to him, extends his arm to shake his hand, and proceeds to say, John Elway, great quarterback. That's it. John Elway kind of looked at him like, okay, yeah.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Look, that's not terrible.
Yeah. But here's what I really want to know.
Great quarterback.
And this is why this is such a delicate situation when you meet a celebrity. Had Randy had an hour to think about it, what could he have come up with that would have made the moment meaningful?
Nothing.
I mean, realistically,
probably
there's nothing
nothing
you can say to them that's going to make the moment work.
Maybe you would say it a little bit better, like I watched you all those years playing, or, you know, meant a lot to me.
But again, millions of people are fans of John Elway and have watched him play for years. I mean, you're not saying anything new or different or interesting.
Right, but you're not trying to entertain them. You're just meeting them and saying thanks for what you do.
Yeah. I agree. Randy's a fail.
Yeah. I think that is a fail.
Fail!
Indeed.
Fail.
All right, let's take a call real quick. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Irene in industry to get us going. Line 3, please, if you wouldn't mind. We're talking about awkward celebrity encounters here on the Kevin and Meet Show. Hi, Irene. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi, yeah. So I met Wesley Snipes when I was about 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he was signing my piece of paper because I wanted his autograph, he said to me, "Oh, nice ring." And all I could say was, Whoa, which one?
Wow. So he was starting a conversation with you to make it less awkward, and you couldn't even come back and say something to him.
No, I couldn't.
Yeah. Good times. Do you wish you had it to do over again, and would you have said anything?
Oh, yeah.
You would have.
I would have, yeah.
After the fact, it's pretty easy. All right, thanks, Irene. Appreciate that. Let's go to line two, please, and get our friend Kristen on from Hollywood. Hey, Kristen, thanks for calling the Kevin and Meet Show. Awkward celebrity encounter. What happened?
Hi. So I was seat filling at the Grammys, and we went in one. We had to go through, like, a side door, and as we're going, I crossed paths with Zach Braff, and it was, like, the height of Scrubs. And he was walking in with Kate Hudson and the guy from the Black Crowes that she was married to, and I just yelled, "You're Zach Braff!"
So you told him who he was?
I did. As if he hadn't known. And all three of them looked at me and stared like I was, I don't know, a spider, and walked away, and I was like, "Oh,
you're Zach Braff." That's awesome.
That is awesome. And it's also understandable, because what happened there is the thought that was going through your mind couldn't help but escape from your lips, because that's all you were thinking in that moment is, "Oh my God, you're Zach Braff."
Yeah, I was so excited. Scrubs was like my favorite show ever.
That's hilarious. That's great. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. Let's go to Cindy. She has a similar story on line 5, and it's with our friend Dave Grohl, by the way, Anyone who's ever been lucky enough to meet Dave Grohl knows that it is always a beautiful experience. You almost can't go wrong meeting Dave Grohl, right?
Yeah. Cindy, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you met Dave Grohl.
Yeah, I was at the Queen of the Stone Age concert. It was the last show for the Gibson, I believe. And my friend was front row center, and I was an orc, so I'm going to go visit her in front row center. So I'm walking by the mixing board like...
Phones just died. Just lost their phones. Oh, that's too bad.
That's not ideal.
She was good. Similar to your Zach Braff, she went up to Dave Grohl and she said, "You're you.
It's you."
That's awesome. All right. We'll get the phones restarted. Try again. 1-800-520-1067. Awkward celebrity encounters. That's what we're talking about on the Kevin and Bean Show. Give us a call. The King of Tustin writes in, "Dear Kevin and Bean, my wife and I were at the Laughlin River Run and we saw REO Speedwagon. The following day in an elevator, just as the doors close, a foot comes through the door and opens the door again, and it's a guitar player from the band. I recognized him instantly. I said, 'I really enjoyed the show last night.' He says, 'Thank you.' And then I said, 'It's so good you guys got back together again.' He looks at me, he puts his head down, looks at me a little angrily, and then says, 'We never broke up.'"
Sweet.
Ooh. My wife could have shrunk right into the corner, but I looked at him and said, "Nobody told me." Just one of those funny things that happens. So REO Speedwagon was off the radar for about 20 years.
Yeah.
And this guy just assumed they were broken up, but they just weren't making it, I guess. So that's probably an encounter he wishes he could take back.
Sure.
Right?
And the first part was good.
Yeah, it was going fine. He should have just cut his losses after "I really enjoyed the show last night." So we're taking calls at 1-800-520-1067.
What he should have done is not gone to REO Speedwagon.
Maybe he just couldn't fight that feeling, though.
Oh, you go right
Maybe
to
he's going
to
keep on loving them. Mm. Hey, let's take some calls. Let's go to line 6, please. Let's go to Vicky in Los Alamitos. She was just at Acoustic Christmas this weekend. She had her own awkward celebrity encounter this weekend. Hey, Vicky.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Who'd you run into?
Hey, we ran into Mark Hoppus from Blink.
Uh-huh.
And I just was awestruck. I walked up to him and I said, "You're awesome."
Yeah.
I didn't know what else to say.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And what did he say back? Like, he must hear that a lot, where just people come up and just gush over him. So what was his response?
He was super super nice. I actually said, hey, we saw you with Mumford at the Troubadour. And he goes, oh, awesome, great. And I said, I was just like, awesome. Yeah. And I said, have a great night. And he kind of walked away. He was super cordial.
Yeah, he's really, really a nice guy.
Nicest guy. Yeah,
he is. Really. Yes. All right. Lucky.
Thank you for calling very much. Let's try, let's go to line four, please. Let's get our man Manny on from Whittier.
Hey, Manny.
Hey, what's up, man? Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Talking about awkward celebrity encounters. You run into somebody, and then you kind of wish it had gone differently. What happened to you?
Big time. Yeah, so me and my wife went out. This is years back. We went to Buena Park to, like, I don't know, AMC or something. It was a movie theater. So we go inside, whatever. We get our tickets and stuff, and I look over to the side, and I see Jose Canseco. It was him, dude, Jose Canseco. He's with some small little girl. I mean, she looked, like, underage, and he was holding hands and stuff. So I was like, what the hell? Wearing this goofy sweater and these big Seinfeld sneakers, you know? So I go
up. A lot of detail about how he was dressed.
Sorry, man. So I go up to him and I'm like, dude, Jose Canseco, what's up, man? And he kind of looks at me and he like rolls his eyes and he's like, no, it's not me.
I go,
Jose Canseco. I go, come on, man. And he's like, no, it's not me. He's
You were questioning him like he was just denying it, but it was really him?
Yeah, it was kind of, I thought he was going to be like, yeah, what's up, it's me or something, and be cool about it, but he was a total douche, and I was like, hey, come on, dude, like, all right, whatever. At that point, like, I was like, okay, man, whatever, I don't really care. So I started walking away, and he followed me. This guy followed me, and he's like, hey, so I look like him, and I was like, yeah, man, and he's like, well, I get that all the time, but that guy's a monster. He's like 7 foot something. He eats babies for breakfast, blah, blah. He just started going on and on, and I was like,
okay,
all right, cool, man, whatever.
So this guy was or was not Jose Canseco?
It definitely was him.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, it was totally him, dude, because I remember he had some big old liver spot on his hand, and I remember Googling it after, and it was him.
This is the most...
He was not letting it go.
I've ever heard.
Manny does not miss a detail.
It was awesome.
He's Sherlock Holmes.
Yes. All right, Manny. I hope we don't ever get your crosshairs or get on your bad side.
Yeah,
Manny,
I'm a good witness. That's
it. We'll shake you. Jesus. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Manny.
Let's go to line eight. Megan in Newport Beach. Oh, how hot must Megan be? Her name's Megan. B, she's in Newport Beach.
I think you're missing.
That's a powerful combination.
You're sidetracked here, Bean. We're talking about celebrity encounters.
I'm sorry, Megan. I was distracted by your beauty. Well, what's your story?
Hi guys. I met Dave Chappelle when I was 21. I was pretty drunk at the time, and my friend and I went up to him, and I told him, oh, my God, I'm so in love with you. You have no idea. I've loved you since you were in Con Air. And he goes, oh, I didn't even know people remembered I was in that movie. I was like, oh, my God, I swear, I'm so in love with you. And he was, you know, just kind of thin and I said, I kept gushing and gushing. Like, I would marry you. I love you. And he's like, I'm married. And he just walked away.
Wow. I'm married. So he thought you were hitting on him, not just being a gushing fan. Were you hitting on him?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then that sounds like that's on you then. That's not awkward at all. That went the way it should have went. All right.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Ozito. He's in Rancho Cucamonga. Now, Kevin, you told us your Magic Johnson story.
Yes.
And how you wish it had gone differently.
Well, I mean, I did say you're great.
You're great, right.
That's it.
Ozito also met the great Magic Johnson. Oh. Let's see how it went for him.
Ozito.
Good morning, fellas.
Hi there.
How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I was walking through the Dodger suite, my wife and I, and I see a big old tall black guy, and I'm 6'6 as well, so I usually don't see tall guys like me. So as we're getting closer, I'm like, oh, my God, it's Mama. Instead of calling him Magic Johnson, I call him Michael Jackson.
Wait, you said to him, hi, Michael Jackson?
Yeah. I was like, I was stuttering. I was pointing at him and just staring at him. And yeah, I was like, you're Michael. And in my mind, I was, you're Magic Johnson. But
yeah.
In reality,
it came out Michael Jackson.
So what did he say?
And he's all like, hey, man, nice to meet you. And I'm like, can I take a photo? And he's like, yeah, man, he's real cool about it. And then as we're taking the photo, I'm just staring at him with my mouth open. And I told him, you're my hero.
I really love Thriller.
Like Thriller. I was really starstruck. I don't know what to say, what to do.
That is awesome.
You did the right thing.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Hey, let's do one more. Let's go from Magic to Kobe. We got Chris, line 8. He's in L.A. Let's find out. You meet a guy like Kobe. I mean, that's a pretty huge superstar.
Kobe called him Webster.
How do you not screw it up? Chris, how'd you blow it with Kobe Bryant?
Hey, guys. Huge fan. So I'm in, like, third grade. I'm a huge Kobe fan. I got to the game early. All these kids pretty much just being, like, ushered onto the court. So I snuck on with these kids. Kobe Bryant then comes out, starts signing autographs for all the kids. I had one of those, it's like one of those Sharpies that you sort of, like, shake up before you use it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I go over to Kobe. It's my turn to get his autograph. And he sort of, like, holds the pen, but he puts the pen out for me to, like, take the cap off.
Right.
And so I go to pull the cap off. The whole pen explodes all over his hand. And he's, like,
sweet.
He's, like, partially being interviewed at the same time. So, as he's being interviewed, this one, like, one of the towel boys, like, runs over. Like, the silver pen is leaking all over his hand, all over the court, just everywhere. And I never got his autograph.
Never got the autograph. But at least you gave him mercury poisoning.
So good work.
I hate myself that I didn't think of this. And the listener, Rob, who pointed out the confusion with Manny and Jose Canseco.
Right.
The story he was telling us about whether the guy really was. Could have been Jose's twin brother, Ozzy.
Identical twin,
who was also a Major League Baseball player I totally forgot about. And if I remember correctly, there was some sort of controversy about some sort of paid appearance that Jose Canseco was supposed to be at, and he sent his brother.
That's awesome.
It's like an autograph meet and greet or something like that. So who knows if you run into one of those guys, which one it is, or whether they're going to tell you the truth, because that kind of makes sense what Manny was saying about how the guy started bagging on Jose Canseco. So, anyway,
yeah.
I don't know if that's mystery solved or if that just confuses the issue even more, but I just had to bring up, yeah, thanks to listener Rob who let us know that Jose did have a brother. Speaking of sports, our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us next hour, and your tickets for Star Wars coming up. First, though, I think we have a very special caller. Our friend Mole is on the line. Hey, Mole.
Hey, Kevin B. Hey, Ralph the Cop. You guys know who it is?
Yeah, it's Mole.
It's Mole. Okay, wait, hold on. Listen, I got the phrase to pace. Here goes. You guys ready? Kevin and Bean put the amphetamines in my jeans. Did I win? Did I get the 2 upper mezzanine tickets?
What? Okay, we're not doing a phrase that pays contest. And what tickets are you talking about?
Acoustical Christmas, Doy Vey.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're not giving away acoustic Christmas tickets today for obvious reasons, Mole.
Because you guys are cheap Charlies.
Well, no, I mean, it's over. It was 2 days ago and yesterday.
Okay, look, I'm willing to take separate seats. My Aunt Linda and I don't have to sit together, if that helps. Okay.
No, the shows were Saturday night and Sunday night this past weekend, so it's over now for another year, Mole.
Oh, man, Aunt Linda's going to be pissed at this guy again. Oh, no. We got a homemade tattoo she made with an E-string, a coffee can lid, and a big pen of Chris Cornell on her belly.
Oh, I bet that's pretty.
I'll tell you something, it looks more like Chris Berman. I'll tell you something, if she ever met Aunt Linda, he could go all the way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. She likes him a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's sexy.
Yeah. What else is going on, Mole?
Wait, is it Kevin and B put the Dramamine in my washing machine?
No, we don't have a contest going on right now.
Yeah, there's no phrase that pays happening, Mole. You're confused. And no tickets. I don't know
why. Was it a good show? Did Cold War Kids play?
Cold War Kids played. Yeah, they were very good. Very entertaining.
Did Bean do his parkour trick off the stage again?
You know what? Thank you for bringing that up. I think I have retired from parkour.
I'll tell you something, Bean. You still owe me muscle relaxers from my last time, dude. You were supposed to get addicted to them, and I was going to help you kick the habit by taking them from you.
Oh, wow. Way to go, Bean.
How inconsiderate are you,
yeah,
Bean?
Yeah, that was a rich fantasy scenario in which I was no part. I'm sorry about that.
Can I ask you guys, Allie, I got to ask you something.
Yeah,
hey, Kevin Bean, don't listen for a second.
Okay, all right.
Hey, Allie, what do you think the guys want for Christmas? Because maybe you and I can go halvesies on it. Because, listen, I can either get them the 8-gig thumb drive or a Blu-ray Bruce Willis combo pack. It's got Die Hard, but also The Kid, so.
Oh, well, I think you answered your question right there.
Hey, guys, all right, I'll just tell you. Hey, guys, let me get you guys some sweet doorbuster gifts. I'm first in line for Black Friday.
Oh, again. Why can't you just get a calendar where you put the important dates of things that you don't want to miss on it?
I got a calendar like 10 years ago, dude. How many am I supposed to get?
You've got to use it, and you've got to refer to it every once in a while and see what's coming up in the future so you can kind of get ahead of these things you've been missing.
Okay, I think I figured out where I screwed up on Black Friday. Okay. Here's what I do. Here's my Black Friday tradition, like everybody. I set my tent up in front of the store, mm-hmm. and then I because it's Black Friday, I block out for a couple of weeks. Right, I've been waiting until the doors open.
Okay.
I drank too much gas this year.
I think so. Well, listen, you got to make some changes in your life, Bull, but I hope you have a wonderful holiday. You doing anything special for Christmas,
buddy? I'm going to have you guys over for holiday cocktails. I got unleaded and diesel.
Oh, that doesn't sound like something we should be drinking.
Oh, Friday, us. Opening night, Hunger Games. I'll bring some Mockingjays to smoke.
Okay, Hunger Games is like a month
like
ago.
Like a month ago, Mole. You're living in the past.
This
son.
Friday is Star Wars.
I really, really shouldn't stop topping off my tank.
Sounds like it. What'd you just hit there?
My hand thing.
All right. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. Just after 8, we are going to give you tickets to a screening of Star Wars. And I think this is going to be fun. We're looking for your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for your Star Wars impressions, okay? Let me give an example of what I'm talking about. Here's my friend Ally McKay as Yoda.
This is why you fail.
That's what we're looking for, but better. Okay, so if you
do it well, though,
you fail.
So, Ralph, what would you say? What would you say would be the acceptable Star Wars characters that somebody could call in with?
A character from Star Wars.
Okay, but let's face it, you don't want to be Red 5 leader. I mean, you're looking for recognizable.
Are you afraid somebody's calling in with Red 5 leader?
I'm just saying.
What do you have against Biggs?
You're looking for, you want a Darth Vader, you want a Luke Skywalker, you want an Emperor Palpatine, you want recognizable voices that people know that are iconic.
I want
right?
an Admiral Ackbar.
And Admiral Ackbar is awesome.
It's a trip.
I will accept Admiral Ackbar, certainly. I'm just saying, no character that we don't know who it is. All right, that's I think what I'm talking about.
Right.
So a Star Wars.
I want the clarinet player from the Cantina band. Why does he think anyone's going to pick someone that we've never heard of?
Why does he think anything ever?
If you can do a Star Wars impression, we'll give you a chance to try next at 1-800-520-1067 and win tickets to see the movie.
I want Bib Fortuna. Someone do Bib Fortuna.
You would be very impressed with that, wouldn't you?
I would. Yes.
Is this acceptable?
Yeah, you can be Chewy.
Yeah.
Who's that?
All right.
Who's that voice? I recognize that one.
Right? All right, time for the Showbiz Beat first. Here's Ralph.
I want to hear Lando Calrissian. If you've got that in your back pocket, pull that one out.
I'm sorry, Han.
Ralph, when's your one-man Star Wars show? I would go see that.
It's this afternoon. I'm doing it in the parking lot after the show, so I hope you'll all be there. Talking Star Wars. I thought this was funny. Imagine, if you will, you're a superpower in show business, and you're married to an equally famous person, and that person has no real knowledge of the thing that made you famous.
Okay.
Such is the case with Harrison Ford and his wife, Calista Flockhart, who had never seen any of the films entitled Star Wars.
Taint Wars.
Not Taint Wars, Star Wars.
She is a bitch.
Did she not live in the world when those movies were made?
She said she grew up in a very small town without a movie theater and had never seen any Star Wars films.
I mean, we assume everyone has seen them, but that's not true of anything.
Right.
So,
but you're married to Harrison Ford.
Yeah. At some point, you think it would come up.
When she got the phone call saying her husband had been injured in the Millennium Falcon, she had no idea what that meant.
Really?
She told Jimmy Kimmel she'd feared he'd fallen out of a plane. It's like, he was in his flying chip and he got hurt. It's like, oh, did he fall out of the plane? No, it's a thing in
it's a
movie,
set.
You dope broad.
She's an actress. She knows how movies work, right?
I think she's had a stroke.
That's weird.
So after that incident, she said she went back and watched the original three Star Wars films, and now she has a much better idea of what her husband does for a living.
Wow.
Apparently.
Huh.
In her defense, though, he was probably trying to explain it to her for years.
Yeah, true.
This Luke, and then swing, swing, and then you strike me down, I'll grow back stronger. She didn't know.
I think you're giving too much of the one man show away. By the way,
I'm sorry.
Save some for the parking lot, dude.
Biebs, the Biebs, he's a bad person. Stopped by cops yet again this past week. Driving in his blue Ferrari. Making an illegal turn. Cops had to pull him over and straighten him out. By the way, you see his new tattoo? He's got a new tattoo.
Did not know.
Yeah. Back of his neck. Set of wings.
Okay.
Well, I hope he's using them soon.
Why?
See? Because then he'll be an angel. Speaking of tattoos, have you seen Ben Affleck's new back tattoo?
Yeah.
No. The phoenix rising from the ashes?
Where is it?
His whole back.
It looks like he did time and stir.
Dude.
Came out and he's got a phoenix on his back.
And it's for reals? It's not for the movie?
Everyone says it's for real. It's not for some role. He actually got it done.
Does he have other tattoos?
Yeah, apparently he's pretty tatted up. Batman. They should call him Tatman, right? Hey, who's with me? Hey, folks, try the veal. Tip your waiters and waitresses. They work hard for you. This thing on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dolly Parton. It's a name we don't mention very often. She had a movie over the weekend based on her song Coat of Many Colors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Most watched movie on broadcast television in 4.5 years.
What?
You are kidding.
13 million viewers tuned in last week to watch Coat of Many Colors.
America loves Dolly Parton.
Apparently. 13 million viewers.
That's insane.
It's crazy numbers.
Who started it? Who played the lead
Johnny
character?
Johnny Asshole.
I thought that might have contributed to its success, was they had somebody good playing it.
Ricky Schroeder was her dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who played the girl, do you know?
A little girl with blonde hair.
Yes.
Dolly Parton has written thousands
Brenda
of songs.
Brenda Bulba is her name.
Wow. She says that Coat of Many Colors is... the best song she's ever written.
Why would you say that?
Because I'm tired and I just want it all to stop.
Unfortunate.
I just want all of this to stop. That's why. I figured that was the best way.
Hey, Ralph,
one of our
impressions for Star Wars coming up after 8 is Salacious Crumb.
Oh, yes.
Now, who's Salacious Crumb?
He's the little guy that hangs out with Jabba the Hutt, who sits on his shoulder.
Oh, his pet.
His pet,
okay.
Yeah.
That's the voice we're going to be hearing? All right.
That's Salacious
Crumb. Can't wait.
Today's celeb... Nope. Let's do showbiz box office results first, because it's Monday.
Ralph's going down, isn't he?
What people we're going to see or not see. Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2, still number one in the box office over the weekend, $11.3 million. Then, In the Heart of the Sea, the new whale movie from Ron Howard, only made $11 million in its debut. Not a great opening for an expensive film. Made it number two this weekend. The Good Dinosaur, Creed, and Krampus were the top five movies. Spectre, The Night Before, the Peanuts movie, Spotlight, and Brooklyn rounded out your top 10. Today's celebrity birthdays, Alex Gasgarth. Singer for All Time Low, 28 years old today. Singer Vanessa Hudgens celebrates 27. And my old friend Ginger Lynn celebrates her birthday today. She is 52 years old today. Happy birthday, Ginger. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Maybe this is an aside. Maybe this is neither here nor there. And I'm in no way trying to derail the bit, because that's not what I'm about at all. But greatest movie theme of all time? Could you make that argument?
Sure.
There's never been one better than the Star Wars theme as the greatest movie theme of all time. I mean, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Ralph, you're shaking your head. You disagree?
I just think you're opening a can of worms. That you okay. Don't I mean, because then it gets us into James Bond or Rocky, Gonna Fly Now. I mean,
they're all great, but right. I think Star Wars is the greatest.
Okay.
Let's go to Allie. Indiana, she's unbiased. Indiana. Allie, what do you think?
Raiders of the Lost Ark, another John.
An awesome theme.
I mean, ice castles.
Ice castles. I mean, top five for sure. I think it's hard to pick one.
As you know, the Star Wars premiere in Hollywood is tonight.
Oh!
And we're not cool enough to have tickets for that. But we do have tickets for later this week. You can see it at the AMC Century City ahead of it opening on the 18th. What's this game called, Kevin?
May the voice be with you.
May the voice be with you.
Okay, may the voice be with you. So we're
that was
pretty short.
I should have recorded a lot more things for that than ended up being used. That surprised me.
So there's this.
Oh, my goodness. May the voice be with you.
Oh, I see. We have a wide selection.
Yes, there we go.
Voice be with you. Intros.
So what we're looking for is your Star Wars.
R2 right. Chiming in.
We're looking for your Star Wars impressions at 1-800-520-1067. Just do the best you can of your character from the movie, and then we'll decide at the end who gets to go see Star Wars ahead of it opening everywhere on the 18th.
I'll give somebody $5 if they do Wedge Antilles.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, sit down. He's one of the X-Wing fighters in the Rebellion.
Okay, take it
Good
easy.
Good friend of Luke's.
All right, take it easy.
Him and Biggs Darklighter?
Come on. Let's start with Matt in Whittier. Hi, Matt.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Great. Who are you going to be doing for us?
Admiral Akbar.
Oh, there you go. There's your Admiral
my
Akbar.
Great.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right. It's a trap. Look out. Your tongue can't repel flavors of that magnitude.
That was Conor McGregor, right?
Yeah. You know, you have to give it from the phlegm. It has to come in from the Scottish part.
Yeah.
You kind of sound like Doc Brown.
Yeah, I feel like you gave him an accent.
Marty, it's a trap.
You gave him an accent he doesn't have, but look, you did the best you could. Hang on, you are still technically
that
in the drawing.
Was an impression.
It was. Let's go to Albert in Los Angeles. Hi, Albert.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Put your lightsaber down. We need to hear your impression. Who are you going to be doing for us?
Chewbacca.
Okay.
Chewbacca, all right.
Here we go. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. All right.
What's going on?
When you're through gargling with mouthwash, we want to hear your Chewbacca impression. Were you trying to sing? What were you doing with Chewbacca?
Hey, that's the way he does. He goes.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
He was singing the Life Day song.
May the voice be with you.
May the voice be with you indeed. Let's try Martin, line 3, please. He's in Chatsworth. Let's see what kind of Star Wars voice impression he's going to do for us.
Hey, Martin.
Hey.
What are you going to do?
The Emperor Palpatine.
Good one. Terrifying.
Lord Vader. Something dark side. something complete.
Something
All right.
Side.
Okay, you hold
a little
on.
Short of material, but the voice
what
almost
he what he lacked in voice impression quality, he made up for in not knowing any of the dialogue.
That's right.
So I feel like we got a good batch so far.
Me too. It's very pleased with my job security.
You want to try Eric, Los Angeles, line 4?
Hey, Eric.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Eric, I think this is wide open right now. I think you could swoop right in with your impression and win. Who are you going to be doing for us?
R2-D2, man.
All right.
All right, man.
All right, man.
All right. All right. Boop, 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 beep.
All right.
Okay. 4 for 4, aren't we?
Right. All right.
You hold on. I mean, technically, you're all still in it.
They're definitely on it. I think it's a dead heat.
Yeah. Ralph, if you don't walk into Mr. Weatherby's office today and demand a raise.
All right, let's go to Al and Van Nuys. Hi, Al.
Hey there.
All right, who are you going to do?
I'm going to do Yoda talking to Palpatine.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yoda.
Here's the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger. Ah, Yoda, you kill me.
What? I
feel like that was 80% pretty good. And then what?
Was that scene of dialogue in the George Lucas when he monkeyed around with the originals or something changed some
things? He recast Emperor Palpatine as Krusty the Clown. I remember that.
Well, you know, that's speech happened before, you know?
Sure, hold on, Al. Yeah.
All right, Al. Wow, we sure wanted to give these tickets away, but so far we're not finding many takers.
All right, let's try Art in Ontario. Hi, Art.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good, thank you.
What do you got for us, Art?
I got Jar Jar Binks.
Ah, the most beloved of all Star Wars characters.
All right, Jar Jar Binks.
Okay, Miss, I know that nobody likes me. But Miss, I'm going to tell you the truth. Miss, I'm the ultimate Dark Sith Lord.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in comparison with the other people
right.
that we've had.
Right. It's not right. good, but right. it's not as awful as some of the others. Why would somebody have a Jar Jar Binks impression?
You know, for the ladies. Get to win over the ladies.
All right. Let's go to Upland, talk to John, line 8. This is amazing how many different impressions we're getting, though.
It's a nice variety.
Yeah. John?
Hi.
Welcome to...
Use the voice, Luke.
We changed the name. Bit.
Who are you going to be doing for us?
Lando Calrissian.
Ooh, oh, all right. Sweet. Good guy, bad guy, good guy again. Can't wait to see what you come up with.
You just never know. Well, so you know, I like a little bit of an edit from the Robot Chicken version. So you got Vader saying, "I have altered the deal. Pray I do not alter it any further." And then Lando says, "This is getting worse all the time."
Okay. So, all right. Wow. So those are our choices.
Okay.
So
you hold on.
That's the batch. Yeah.
So
this
out
like
of
the
all
NFC
of those.
East, this batch here.
So somebody we just talked to gets Star Wars tickets for what they did on our show?
Yes.
I believe so, yes.
Well, I mean, I hate to give Jar Jar any love, but I thought Art was the
pretty close.
Impression that sounded the most like the person in the movie.
Yeah.
If you guys are comfortable with that, let's go back
for
to
me, it was either Al or Art. It was Yoda or Jar Jar.
Let's go back to Art real quick. Mm-hmm. Art?
Art? Hey, hey, hey.
Go see Star Wars and don't ever do that impression again, okay?
Of course. Thank you.
Okay. You win. Hold on.
Congratulations,
by
Art.
By the way, we have another pair.
You want to do Al? You want to do Al?
Let's do Al.
Let's do Al. Hey, Al.
Hey.
What?
Al?
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, hey. How are you doing, Al? Good to speak with you. Al, we want you to be our guest to go see a screening on December 17th of Star Wars Force Awakens as well, okay?
Awesome.
All right, man. Have fun. Thanks for playing.
Least I like their voice.
God rest ye merry gentlemen.
What?
Sort of a Christmassy type song.
Yes, it's none of those things, Roddy. I don't know what the hell you're...
It was Christmassy.
Talking about
it was right. Christmassy.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin DeMincio. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us coming up. This is we're getting near the end of the year here on the Kevin DeMincio, so we're doing what we do, which is kind of look back on the 12 months just passed. We did the top 10 beer mug moments the other day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did the top 10 Omar intros. We did the top 10 moments with, also known as the Kevin Show.
Oh, come on.
I think tomorrow we're doing top 10 bean tweets of the year.
Oh, my dear Lord.
Really?
And right now, this is one of my favorites. And it's funny that as we get close to the end of the year, I start getting emails from listeners with suggestions on what they would like to see on this list. Hmm. It's something that we call drops or sound bites, those little audio clips that we play throughout the show that some listeners have developed I think an unhealthy obsession with in some cases.
They have an unhealthy obsession.
I believe
with them.
So, yes.
Yeah. Really. The man who speaks almost only through them now.
Top 10 drops of the year. Hit it, Steve.
Audio clips that we play on the show. Which one will be on top? No one knows. Audio clips, also known as drops. Which one will have a shot? This is top drops. Top drops. This is top drops. This is top drops. Which one will be on top? Of 2015.
All right, that's all the time we have. Thank you, everybody.
Top drop. I want to give a special shout out to Kevin and Bean listener Katie, who I think, if I read her email correctly, is in some sort of like fantasy league where they bet or try to guess on where their favorite drops are going to end up in the year.
No one's doing that.
It sounds very complicated.
Zero people are doing that.
No wagering going on.
It's just not the thing.
She had an outstanding list, and it was very helpful when I was putting it together. All right, number 10 on the top drops of 2015. We go back to January as the Oscars were being announced. You may remember that there was a little mishap that day where somebody mispronounced the name, and it led to a lot of fun at the time and a name that we've been able to keep alive. Maybe the most famous guy that you never heard of, nominated for an Oscar as a result of him being called
Dick Poop.
Dick Poop, ladies and gentlemen, is number 10 on our list of the top 10 drops of the year. Number 9 is one that we had in the archives for a long time but didn't discover it until 2015. And now I don't know how we lived without this, especially when Ralph comes in with late-breaking news during the showbiz beat.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Another guy we just fell in love with.
All right. Number eight on the list is, you know, it was hard to pick with all the great greatness that Rodney has given us this year.
Yeah.
I mean, we've really had a lot of fun with Rodney. But of all the things he said that we fell in love with, I think this is the one that we found the most useful and the one that we played the most.
Kevin, I've had it.
Yeah, that did come in handy. That's for sure.
And I think we all know exactly where Rodney's coming from on that one. Got a little help with the phone number this year with this particular soundbite. This is at number seven this year.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
I sense that that one burned pretty fast for you, Ralph.
Oh, yeah. I was good with that.
I think he was out after the first time.
But thank you, Doto, for helping out on the show this year. All right. Number six was a tough one for me because Ralph came up with a game called Kevin Mad Libs the News. And it created some real magic out of Kevin. I think that's where Pink Fruit Mountain came from.
Yeah, it did.
7 Sundays in May.
Yep.
Pig's Feet Don't Lie.
Sure.
And I think my favorite of all of Kevin's answers is something that we turned into a soundbite that we probably will use a lot in the months to come. And here it is.
Taint Wars.
I mean, really, the fact that Taint Wars is a thing. Thanks to Kevin.
It's not really a thing, no.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's become a thing.
It definitely has become a thing. This is Top Drops. All right, we're into number five. Allie, there were several from you that I were in very serious consideration for Top 10 Soundbites of the Year. And I think the one that we chose, I think, represents the way your mind works when this is the question that even comes to you.
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think? Still no idea where that came from.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't have any idea either.
Odd.
Yeah.
Number four in our Top 10 Soundbites of the Year comes... Come straight out of the news. I don't know how Donald Trump could not make an appearance, but
yeah.
Of course he did. He said a thing that we just can't get away from, and it is...
Sit down.
I mean, really...
How is that not number
how
one?
Is that
That's
not number
my
one?
Favorite
one.
Sit down is pretty strong, right?
By far, it's my favorite.
How many times do you find that yourself saying that to somebody on the show?
I say it to you almost hourly.
All right, now we're getting into the top three, and this was, again, very tough. And this...
Sit down!
At number three, this goes back to a little thing that was called the Great Periscope Disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know if you remember, but I was attempting to share with the listeners my secret recipe for chocolate milk with chocolate milk ice cubes.
Mm-hmm. Right, which, what's the secret recipe?
That's not important now. The important thing is that on Periscope...
freeze chocolate milk.
That's it. On Periscope, I was trying to open up the tray, remember, to get the chocolate milk out, and the tray just fell apart in my hands, just shattered.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was a terrible thing, and I just
really
reacted...
Wasn't.
And by a terrible thing,
with
you mean...
a minor thing that just didn't matter, really.
I just reacted naturally, as any person would, and said the thing that came in my mind, and it was this at number three.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
Which I don't think was overstating it.
Nope.
Define colossal disaster.
I thought that
was... Challenger. The shuttle exploding after taking flight. That was a colossal disaster.
My ice cube tray fell apart,
this
Ralph.
This was frozen chocolate milk wouldn't come out of your ice cube tray.
Our top 10 favorite sound bites of the year on the Kevin Amin Show for 2015. Oh, look, it's Allie again. What, are you kidding me with two in the top five?
This is why you failed.
Yes.
Well, that was Mini Yoda. That was
handy.
Sure.
Was that the first impression you dropped on us?
I believe it was.
And the best. It's still the best.
Real bad.
Yeah. All right, you guys, have you given any thought or do you not care at all what number one might be? We've heard some pretty good ones from the last calendar. Anything jump into mind that we might have missed that you think would be appropriate?
Are there any more, Rodney? Is he off the
table? My fantasy league, I really had all my money on Sit Down. But I'm surprised. I don't know what to gather that the number one is.
Sit Down had a great year. I mean, it did come
in. I'm out of Last Man Standing because of that.
It did come in at number four. Here it is, the number one. This is Top Drops. The number one soundbite of 2015. You tell me if you disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's been around for so long, I forgot it was this year.
It was this year. Ralph, do you remember how it happened?
I don't. I forget the context.
It was a showbiz story where some girl was doing something to some other girl that was catty. Said, like... Totally threw some shade at that person. Said something, like, really kind of bitchy.
Oh, I see.
And it was the Charlotte McKinney interview.
Or not. All right, so Which was it?
Well, my memory is that it was in the show business. How did it come up with Charlotte McKinney? She was this, what, the Sports Illustrated?
No, she was the Carl's Jr. Yeah, what happened was she was talking about how people were mean to her when she was a kid.
That's right.
Then that was the sound you made.
Yeah. And I think the attempt was that it was supposed to be, it was the catty noise is what it was. It was me trying to be catty.
So you could, but trying to do,
that's it.
That's what you were trying to do?
Yes.
The sound you make when someone's being catty.
And that was it?
Yes. That's what came
up. Can we hear that again, please?
That's what came up.
I guess not.
I just had a failure. Oh, here it is. Yeah. So you knew the real noise.
So he was trying to replicate.
And instead it came out.
It's like a cat with a cleft palate.
This is Top Drops. The Top Drops of 2015.
Monday mornings, we look forward to catching up with our friend Andrew Siciliano from the DirecTV Red Zone and the NFL Network. Andrew, it was great to see you at Acoustic Christmas last night. You have a good time?
Yeah, I had a great time, guys. I can't thank you enough. It was great to see all of you as well, all in one place at one time, everyone awake, alert, and alive. And it was a great show, and we missed the rain because we were indoors. It was awesome.
Who was your favorite act that you saw last night?
You know what? Fall Out Boy was great at the end. I'm a big Monsters and Men. That's odd. I've never said that out loud. Yep. I enjoyed their performance a lot.
Yeah, they were good. They were really good. Panic at the Disco, unbelievable how great they are.
They were great. I'm one of those guys that goes, oh, that's them. Oh, wait a minute. That's their song.
Oh, I know that too. Oh, okay, yeah.
Right. And I wish I was there Saturday because I really wanted to see Silver Sun Pickups again. I know we saw them a couple of weeks ago during there, a couple of years ago during the summer, but I would have loved to have seen them again.
Yeah, they were super fun too. Well, anyway, it was great to see you. We got to talk some football because there was a lot of action yesterday. I've never seen a week with more blowouts in one weekend, and I'm wondering if that's just the teams that are out of the playoffs, because a lot of them were the ones that got just destroyed yesterday. So they're just not trying that hard. Maybe they don't want to get hurt, or what's happening?
I mean, I think that's part of it. I would never discount the December blowout because teams are out of it factor. You could also look at the fact that a team like Carolina has just now kicked it into gear, and they're playing as well as they've ever played. And Atlanta, conversely, has done exactly the opposite. You can also look at it, let's say, you know, the Seahawks, for example. They're playing their best ball of the year, and the Ravens had to start their third quarterback yesterday.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
third quarterback and you're awful to begin with, that's a bad combination.
Let's talk about Carolina. Did they set some sort of record yesterday with rush yardages in a quarter or something?
I don't know that one, but I do know that they have the sixth longest winning streak, I believe, since the merger at 17 in a row. Longest winning streak, period, in the NFC ever. I mean, it's been like 54 weeks since they lost a regular season game, and I believe their last two games against the Falcons, one this year, one last year, are like 76-3 or something like that.
And they are on such a tear that even though obviously they were going to win very early in that game, they never took their foot off the gas. I mean, their goal was to score as many points as they could right up until the last snap.
Yeah, and here's the funny thing, too, is because Arizona won on Thursday, the Panthers actually don't have the number one seed in the NFC wrapped up. Hypothetically, if these two, and Carolina's 13-0, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
But if they were to end in a 14-2 tie, which could happen,
right,
Arizona would get the number one overall seed on a tiebreaker.
Wow.
So that's insane.
Carolina can't take its foot off the gas. Hypothetically, you would want to rest people. You would say, hey, we don't have home field. They have a bye. They don't have to play the first weekend, but they actually need to keep winning.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. Okay. All right. That makes sense. All right. Let's talk injuries. What do you hear on Andy Dalton this morning?
Okay. So Andy Dalton is going to have his thumb looked at again today. It doesn't look good. He has a broken bone in his thumb. They know that. So his thumb is broken somehow, some way. How long he's going to be out, we don't know. There's a lot of speculation he's out for the season. There are some people holding out hope he could be back for the playoffs. If the Bengals get a bye, their next playoff game is 33 days away, basically, that weekend. If they don't get a bye, and because they lost without him yesterday, that now is in doubt.
Right.
Their next playoff game, or their first playoff game, is 26 days away. I'm not a doctor, but I highly doubt that a broken thumb can heal in either 4 weeks or in 5.
Wait, you're not a doctor?
I'm not a doc. Dr. Drew was there last night. I thought about taking his moniker. That's not me.
You can't throw a football with a broken thumb.
No, and that's why they pulled him out of the game. Yeah. So he made a tackle. He threw an interception, and then he made the tackle, and then he went to the sideline. They're talking about what happened wrong on the play, and he says, let me try to throw the ball. My thumb hurts. And he said, I can't grip the ball. And they x-rayed, and they said, you're done.
We're talking to Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network right now about Week 13 action from yesterday. All right, speaking of medicine, so Gronk is back in the game last night, miraculously. I know the Patriots cheated somehow, but I can't figure out, like, how do you cheat to get a guy who we thought was going to be out for weeks with that knee injury and get him already playing and playing great, like he hasn't missed a step?
I think they did, like, one of those, either, like, the Rocky, which one is Drago in? Was that Rocky, what, three?
I thought that was four.
It's one of the bad ones. Go ahead.
Yeah,
no, okay. that's not a bad one.
Some kind of Brigitte Nielsen illegal Eastern Bloc training program like Drago to get him ready. Or they just cut his leg off and gave him a robotic one. One of the two.
That's very possible. What's your theory, Allie? I mean, because he looked great last night.
He looked great, and I wouldn't have played him. I thought for sure when I heard he was going to be playing against the Texans, I'm like, what are you doing?
Do you think do teams exaggerate either on the low side or on the high side of injury? So they'll say, he may not come back, and then all of a sudden there he is?
Bill Belichick rarely actually admits that he's met any of his players. So during a press conference, if you were to ask Bill, what's the status on Rob Gronkowski's knee injury, he will give you a blank stare, suggesting he doesn't know the person about whom you speak.
Right, okay. All right. Yeah, we're not going to get much out of him.
No idea who that person is.
I want you – this is a double-sided question, Andrew, and that is, should the Broncos be worried, A, and B, how about the Raiders staying alive? That made a lot of people happy to see them win yesterday.
All right, so this all is kind of connected to the Andy Dalton thumb thing, because you cannot overstate the Andy Dalton thumb thing. When the Bengals started the day, they were the number one seed in the AFC. He broke his thumb, they lost, and now people wonder whether or not they're going to win another game. Denver coulda, woulda, shoulda beaten the Raiders, but Khalil Mack had like 17 sacks or something like that.
He had five, which is like a record, right?
Which is like a record.
In one game.
And then, see, Brock Osweiler got let down. I mean, Demaryius Thomas dropped passes. Vernon Davis dropped passes. The line was a sieve. You can legitimately sit here today and say Brock Osweiler played well enough to win and everyone else failed around him. Or you could be cynical and sarcastic and say Osweiler threw the ball too hard and they couldn't catch it. And what you need now is a soft tosser old man like Peyton to come back, because he would just throw rainbows and then his receivers would catch it.
Is he going to play again? Is Peyton going to play again?
Well, listen, if Brock won yesterday, if the Broncos won, he'd be 4-0. And there's no way you put Peyton back.
Right.
Now, get ready for the narrative this week.
Yeah.
Are the Broncos better off putting Peyton back?
Ooh.
And the Patriots, through all of this, by the way, it looked like a disaster when they lost last week. Denver loses. Cincinnati loses. They're back now at number one. And if the Giants beat the Dolphins tonight, then New England will be sitting on their couch and clinch the AFC.
You said if, you meant when.
When the Giants, because the Giants can win and stay with the Redskins and the Eagles in the NFC East race. 21 of 32 teams today have losing records.
Wow. That's insane.
Well, it's definitely coming down to the wire, like you always say. It's the greatest reality show on television. And let me just say one more thing, because I just love this so much, thinking about the 49ers. They were bad, and then they were worse, and then they were terrible, and then they were embarrassing. Now they're bad, losing to the Cleveland Browns bad. That's a whole new level of bad, right?
It is a whole new level of bad. And can I give you one more quick narrative?
Sure, sure.
I told you this was going to happen. Johnny Manziel was going to come back and play well enough to screw up the Browns' number one overall draft pick.
Yep.
And screw up their best chance to find a better replacement.
So he's not going to be the guy. Even if he plays out and they do pretty well in the last four games or whatever it is, you're saying he's not going to be the guy next year?
Well, enough people don't want him to be the guy. He's going to play well enough to make it a difficult decision.
Gotcha.
And
all right.
Screw everything.
It's easier for everyone if he just sucks, if he just browns it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to have a blatant answer one way or the other.
Yeah,
you're not
going to
get he's the next Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Hey, Andrew.
Yes.
Sorry about your streak.
Oh, my streak, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
It's over.
Because you're human and you peed during a 7-hour broadcast.
For the first time in 27 weeks of the show.
Well, it just shows a lack of commitment to your job, I think.
Truly. The Warriors lost on Saturday. I lost on Sunday. Wow. Somebody already made a meme that said 27-1 with my face.
Told you last night, we're not mad, we're just disappointed.
Yeah.
You're disappointed. I punched the wall in the bathroom.
Oh, that's ugly.
Well, can't they bring like a squatty potty out on the set at the Red Zone?
See, here's the deal. I made it back in time. It was during the late games with only two, and I made it back in time where we actually hadn't switched to the other game with something I'd previously recorded. We do that every week. So when I got back, my control room, my producer said to me, hey, listen, we're willing to lie for you. Nobody would have known because we didn't have to switch games. You actually made it down the hall and back, and there was no change to the program.
But you're an honest man.
No, I'm an honest man, and I wanted to go the whole season. This is devastating.
It's okay, man. It's all right. You're all right. You're still doing your work. Look, new streak starts Sunday.
Yeah, let's go streaking.
Around the NFL and the NFL Network this afternoon at 3, and, of course, the host of DirecTV's Red Zone channel, our close personal friend, Andrew. Thank you for so much fun this year. We've really enjoyed talking to you on Mondays, man.
Guys, Merry New Year. Thanks for including me, as always, and can't wait to see you.
You bet. Bye-bye.
It is 8:52.
Rob is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's new?
Because it's Monday, we always look at the weekend box office to see what people went to see in the movie theaters over the weekends, and not a lot of people went to the movies in general.
Why do you suppose that was, Ralph?
I cannot
people busy
imagine.
Christmas shopping maybe is part of it, or
it's not going to keep them out of theaters next weekend.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2. Maybe everyone's seen that by now. Only made $11.3 million, but still good enough to make it number one. Right behind it was In the Heart of the Sea, the new Ron Howard film about a giant whale. It cost a lot of money to make and promote, and then made $11 million in its opening weekend.
I blame it on the hip-hop.
Maybe folks don't want to see old-timey whaling movies. just a guess, but I'm thinking maybe...
Sounds like pretty solid reasoning.
Maybe a guy throwing a harpoon can't really hold up against some of the other action going on the big screen these days. Good Dinosaur was third. Creed and Krampus rounded out the top five. Then Spectre, the night before the Peanuts movie Spotlight, and Brooklyn were your top 10 films at the box office.
Allie, go see Spectre over the holidays.
Yeah, I can't
Allie,
wait.
God
yeah.
damn it.
No, seriously.
Definitely going to.
Please note, it's been in the top 10 since the day it came out months ago. Obviously, good word of mouth.
Sure.
People are enjoying it. It's James Bond. You've never seen a James Bond movie.
I'm going to see a lot of movies. I'm going to see Spotlight. I'm going to see Brooklyn. I'm going to see The Danish Girl. And I will see Spectre.
Promise?
Nope.
Yep.
No, she doesn't.
She was awfully excited about those first three.
You know what Bean always says about Saturday Night Live?
Yes. I do know how he says that.
Whatever your Saturday Night Live was and you remember it, you always think that was the funny one and the new one is crappy. But it's not the case. They're all equally good.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
You don't buy it.
I especially don't buy it when I saw Will Ferrell return to Saturday Night Live this weekend to reprise his impression of George W. Bush.
Oh, he's so funny when he does George Bush.
Yes, he is.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that was one of the great characters.
You look at Saturday Night Live now, and then you go back and you look in its halcyon days where Will was there yucking it up. And I got to tell you, not as good.
Okay, but
not as good.
My whole point is 3 years from now, people go, oh, remember when Kate McKinnon was on and she was so funny and Leslie Jones did that bit and it was so great.
Still won't be as funny as when Will Ferrell was part of the cast.
Okay.
I present to you, Your Honor, Exhibit A, Will Ferrell. Once again, doing George W.
The field of Republicans out there is so messed up, I figured it makes you miss me, doesn't it? Yeah. And that's saying a lot. I've already got my campaign song. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. I'm gonna find you and make you love me. That's a little something from the Fugees. I'm telling you, I can beat these guys. Here, let's take a look at some of the front runners. Dr. Ben Carson. I can barely hear him when he talks. I'll tell you something, that's not going to work when you have to go to China or Azerbaijan, where you have to talk loudly so they will understand.
Very funny.
We could just play all of that. Just sit back and play all that and laugh, laugh, laugh.
The good old days, huh? Didn't Will Ferrell do a full-blown Night at the Theater.
The one-man show on Broadway.
One-man show on Broadway as George W. Bush.
Mm. He did.
Yeah, he was great.
He's not dead. He just sat outside a lot. He was great.
It's a bummer. And his little stepdad movie looks funny, too, right? That's coming out at Christmas? The one of him and Mark Wahlberg?
Yes.
Looks funny. I'm saying Will Ferrell is a treasure. That's
a hot take.
Will Ferrell's funny. That Bean is going to step outside the comfort zone and
I don't mind.
Make a statement.
I'll put my name on that. I don't mind admitting it.
Very bold.
You're a brave man. This this made me sad. You guys familiar with Sly and the Family Stone? Sly Stone.
Mm. Yep.
One of really the influential artists of funk and hip-hop and rock. Back in the late 60s, he founded this band. It was interracial and had men and women. It was unlike anything that had been done at the time. And they just had hit after hit after hit. It was
genius.
Great genius band. Sly has fallen on hard times financially.
Oh, no.
Reportedly, he is living in an RV these days. Homeless.
That's
not
sad.
As bad off as Alley, but still not in great shape. And so he took the production company to court, claiming there were $5 million in unpaid royalties and damages due him as founder of Sly and the Family Stone. Well, the good news is that the jury awarded him that $5 million.
Oh, great.
And then another judge decided last week that Sly had signed over his royalties to a production company called Evan Street Productions in 1989 in return for 50% ownership of that company. So all of that $5 million now goes to Evan Street Productions, and Sly Stone gets nothing of the judgment.
Wow. Doesn't it seem like Sly Stone is one of those artists that other musical artists could say, hey, throw a couple of dollars at this problem here because he deserves it. Because he was such a huge influence on so many of us, and we love him.
Yes.
But if he owns 50% of that company, can't he get half of the $5 million?
No, apparently the company is working at a deficit. It's not a money-making operation.
Mm.
So there's no real profits to be had, according to the story. Why did he take a one-time payout in 1989? In exchange for his royalties, Sly admits he had a drug and alcohol problem at the time and needed fast cash.
He had a very serious problem that led to mental illness, too. I mean, he's had a hard 25 years.
Remember when they tried to bring him out on stage at the Grammys, I think it was?
Yep.
And he sort of ran out and played piano for a little bit.
They were doing a tribute to Sly.
They sure were, yeah.
And he just exited stage right, man, and they just kept playing.
He seemed
it was strange.
Wildly uncomfortable. So it's just sad news for a legend to have fallen on hard times.
Now, Kevin, I know you hate the oldies. But when Everyday People or Hot Fun in the Summertime or Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself, when those songs come on, how do you turn those off? You got to look at those and go, all right, this I'll hang with.
I'm never listening to a station that plays those. I don't hate them at all. They're fine, but they don't come up.
Okay, all right.
Oh, you squirrels, go home!
Nothing?
Cynthia and Jerry. Got a message that's saying.
What's happening?
What is happening?
What do you mean, what is happening?
What is happening?
Cynthia and Jerry's got a message that's saying, oh, you squares, go home!
and that's for, is that the lyrics for what song? What song is that lyrics for?
Dance to the mother effing music.
I love Dance to the Music. I don't know the words.
He doesn't know it, though.
I don't know the words well
dance
enough to remember.
Dance to the music. Yeah,
that part I know.
Dance to the music.
I'm going to add a little bottom to make it easy to move your feet.
That's good stuff.
You people suck. Today's celebrity birthdays. Alex Gathcart is 28 years old today. Singer Vanessa Hudgens is 27. And my good friend, the lovely Ginger Lynn, celebrates her 52nd
Debbie
birthday.
Debbie Likey.
Oh, come on. Why do you have to? Now you go and you do and you be.
That's a good point.
Oh, you squares, go home!
Guys don't get it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you once again to the awesome listeners that bought tickets for both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 happening this past Saturday and Sunday night at the Forum. We had a fantastic time. I know I've said this before, but I can't believe, 22 acts over two nights is insane, first of all. I can't believe the level of quality among those acts. Because usually, you go to a lot of these shows.
And there's a beer band, let's be honest.
Yeah. Or half the lineup are people you just don't care about. Even the bands that I didn't think I was going to like so surprised me. Little George Ezra, by the way. Personality plus that guy. Never had any idea he was so funny, interacting with the crowd, very entertaining. Still can't believe that big voice comes out of that little dude.
He's 12.
He's 12 years old.
That's a weird thing.
But there were just so many great surprises. Chris Cornell's set last night, him doing Imagine, him doing just a song, songs from all over his career. And he actually came out and did an acoustic.
He did it. Actually played acoustic.
You don't see that very often. That voice, though.
Yeah.
His voice may be better than it's ever been, which is unbelievable.
But at least he's ugly, so he's got that going
right,
for him.
Right, exactly. Poor guy. That's the trade-off, is he got that voice. But there were just so many highlights, and I know there'll be a bunch of stuff up at krock.com as they continue to pull highlights from the stage and the interviews and stuff like
Panic
that.
Panic at the Disco doing Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody again.
Yep.
Was crazy good.
Everybody was talking about Elle King, and I know you loved her voice, too. She did that Beatles cover, Oh Darling, which was amazing. You can't believe she Joplined it up.
She is a powerhouse.
Powerhouse singer, yeah.
Unreal.
Just so much talent in the room there, and we had a lot of fun, and we got the opportunity because we were broadcasting from there both days to do a bunch of interviews. And one of the ones we just wanted to bring you some of because we really enjoyed talking to Matt from the 1975. What's the first clip we got here?
This is about all the travel and how they've crossed the country 75 times, and they get an award for it.
How many miles have you put on the van? Because when you try to conquer America and do it the way you've done it, you go to every place 3 or 4 times. It seems
I know, right? I mean, yeah, it's kind of important to us as well because we want to kind of give back that emotional investment that we feel from our fans, so we wanted to. It's really important to us.
Yeah,
and but it's hard work, but it's really rewarding. We do it all over the place. We got an award for the stupidest amount of miles done by a band.
Are you positive that's an award?
I don't think that was the actual title, but it was something like that.
I think someone was making fun of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Happening there. I was sitting with Miss Double December last night during the 1975 set, and we were just looking around, and there were all these people, mostly girls, standing up, singing every word to every song. I mean, there's no question they have their hardcore fan base, and they were really out in full effect last night.
Kevin liked his hair.
I did.
He had total hair envy.
He had Dexy's Midnight Runner hair, didn't he?
He did.
He's got pretty good hair. Pretty good hair. And then we talk about the new album.
How'd you come up with that crazy, crazy title?
I came up with it. It was just something that I said to a girlfriend of mine at the time, not in as poetic a way as you could imagine. I wasn't probably very cool when I said it, but I wrote it down.
Tell the kids what it's called.
It's called "I Like It When You Sleep, For You Are So Beautiful Yet So Unaware of It." That's all right, though, isn't it? You're allowed to call your albums whatever you want. That's my choice.
Now, is that going to have a short? Is there going to be a shorthand version of that name? That people,
oh no!
You got to say the whole thing every time you say it.
I think it's up to you. I think it'll be referred to as that album with the long title.
Can't wait. It's coming out in February. All right. So the other drama that's going on for us who are all working the show is that night one, Saturday, we're at the Forum, and we all are busy. We all have duties. We're running back and forth doing interviews, introducing bands on stage, meeting people, taking pictures, all that stuff. But at the same time, we are aware that UFC 194, I want to say, is it 4? Is going on. So we've got the pay-per-view going backstage. And, of course, we want to see the Jose Aldo Conor McGregor fight.
We have a whole system of text set up so that we know when it's going to happen and when they're walking out, and then we can run back and see the fight and then run back out and see some bands. And then it was we go on stage to introduce Weezer. And in that amount of time, while we were saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, here's Weezer," the fight took place. And the whole fight.
And here's what's crazy is that we had some downtime before the main event. We saw every minute of the Weidman-Rockhold fight, introductions, the entire 3 rounds, the post-interviews, the breakdown, the analysis, and we're looking at our watches going, come on, come on. We got to go do this Weezer thing. And as Conor's music starts playing and they're bringing him into the MGM Grand, that's when we have to dash to the stage. We go, we do the announcement real quick, we come back.
I stayed for a song. I was like, I love Weezer. I just want to say, okay, one song, and then I'll run back, and then I'll come back and catch the end of it. So I one song, and then I went back, and Dave was standing around the hallway. I was like, what's happening?
Why aren't you watching the fight?
Should be in, like, the second round by now, and that's because it was the shortest fight ever.
Yes, it was Rousey short is what it was. Here's what we missed when we weren't in front of the TV for the wrong 13 seconds.
Here we go! Green trunks for the southpaw, the notorious Conor McGregor. Black trunks for the champion, Jose Aldo Jr.
Conor relaxed and smiling. Oh!
So 13 and a half seconds long.
So
that fight.
So why buy a fight if you can just see it on Snapchat? That's where the world we're living in, right?
That's what we're saying.
And you just heard a couple of bands that played Friday night.
We
heard Falls, and they were at the 2015 Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Friday night?
At the Forum.
Like we do Friday night.
We heard them doing Olympic Airways.
Ronnie, there's never been a Friday night acoustic Christmas concert ever.
Always Saturday and Sunday.
Always. 26 years in a row it's been Saturday.
What if he's right and we missed the whole show?
Oh, there was a whole other night?
Wouldn't that be a bummer?
The third night. The legendary third night of acoustic Christmas.
Suck. Well, we missed it.
I never saw the memo on the Friday night show at all. So
just Rodney introducing band after band after band. And they were all the Monkees.
Yeah, I bet the Monkees were there.
Yep.
Not much question about that. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean show. Here's that guy.
Speaking of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas show for this year, I think we've really dropped the ball. We've not done a service talking about Bean putting his hair in pigtails.
Look.
Yeah, you know, it's been glossed over. It's been occasionally mentioned. But really, it needed some. I think it needs a hard look.
Asshole.
I don't know that that's
right,
the takeaway.
That handled it. I think that took care of it.
Yeah, he.
You tweeted a picture, didn't you, Kevin?
Yes, I did.
So go to Kevin's Twitter. What is the handle?
At the Kevin Ryder.
At Kevin Ryder. And,
at the Kevin
at
Ryder.
At the Kevin Ryder.
Damn it, Ralph.
With a Y. Ryder with a Y.
Yes.
And go and take a look at the picture because that happened. That was a for real thing.
And when questioned if he did it just because he knew it would get attention, Bean said no.
No. Oh, of course, I'm not doing it for attention.
Okay,
which
so then
I said,
why?
Oh, so you're trying to blend in. You're trying to be under the radar. You're trying to be stealth with that hairdo.
Look, here's why I can't win. Because you guys always accuse me of being a party pooper, of not being fun, of not getting into the spirit
that
of the event.
That was my solution?
Wait, did we change topics?
No, hair?
I'm saying, so here I am.
This will prove I'm fun. Look at this. I want to put rubber bands in my hair.
I go to
a party.
I take the extra step of, in some ways, dressing up for the event.
No.
Put a little rock and roll swagger into my
step. There's no rock and roll or swagger.
Rock and roll swagger.
Pigtails. How many times do I have to say this? Pigtails are a party for your head. And that was a party last night. That's what I was doing, is I was in the spirit of the
event. Did it make you... was it weird when our boss came up to you and said...
Don't do that.
Stop doing that.
It wasn't weird then, but then when he was serious and threatened to fire me, yes, then it was weird. Then it was not fun.
Because you're embarrassing the station.
But he could be wrong, too. Sometimes your people could be wrong.
But he's the boss.
I know. Look, I'm going to tell you, and Kevin doubts this, but I paid attention last night, and my guesstimate is that about 75% of the people that commented on it had positive things to say.
You
I heard a lot of love
a massive
there.
Liar.
I heard a lot of love there.
Sure.
No, why would I wouldn't lie. Look, if 90% of the people hated it and I liked it, I would still do it. My point is that...
But your point is everything that you do that's absurd, you go, everybody loves it.
75%
people. I'm saying 75% of the people... liked it. Dave, if you're listening to this conversation, how many times did we run across, you and I were together a lot last night, run across people who said, unsolicited, I love the hair looks great.
Not listening. Not listening to the show. By the way, all those people were being ironic, too.
Yes.
By the way.
Huh?
They were being ironic, all those people. It was a comedy answer. Like, you're an ass. I love making fun
of you. I'm not sure he gets that, though.
He does not.
He takes it seriously.
It's black or white. It's hot or cold. He only has two levels.
I am excellent at picking up social cues from
people. If nothing else, we've learned that. So if I go.
Is it possible that you've just used some really poor judgment here?
No.
If someone comes up to me and goes, nice hair. He
right.
Goes, oh, they liked it. They said I had nice
I'll put
hair.
Them in the 75%.
75.
It wasn't like that, though.
Another one in the 75 pile.
Well.
Bean. Just to clarify, it looked stupid. Who's with me?
Look, everyone. It's not something I'm doing full time. I'm not in pigtails today. It was just, it was.
I wish you were in pigtails today and not yesterday when people could see
it
you.
It was an appropriate way.
You're in a place where people
to
could
have
look
fun
at you.
And to party.
Define fun, define party.
Allie, what were your thoughts on the pigtails?
Well, let me tell you what our music director said. And I quote, "Oh, God, this is going to be in pictures."
Yeah, I think we all felt
so,
that way.
I mean.
We're going to all look back in 2015 as the great hair disaster.
I just think you're terrific.
All right, let's move on.
All right.
Is that enough, or do we need to keep going?
No, I just thought it had to be addressed, and I'm glad we did, because it's just it's inappropriate.
I got a lot of enemies trying to steal my energy right now, is what's happening.
Is that what's happening?
It's a good read again.
You okay, Ralph?
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right.
I'm just saying, why don't you say less?
All right, let's move on.
That's a good point that guy has.
He does have a good point. Mike and Molly's canceled. CBS has pulled the plug on the beloved sitcom that most of us did not know was still on. 6 seasons.
Wow.
It's a pretty good run. Did you run out of time for that, that sadness music, by the way?
He's in a rush.
In a hurry?
I accidentally hit the off button with my
pop
finger.
A rubber band?
No.
Throw you off? It'd be Longstocking. Looked at him last night and said, I got it. I got to find a new style.
Yeah.
I got to go get a perm or something.
I got a lot of, hey, you look like the little girl from the Wendy's sign, too. I got a lot of that.
Yeah.
And,
well, that's
and
what
did
you're
that go in the,
for.
That go in the 75% of
75? People love Wendy's.
Positive.
People love a good Frosty.
I just want to make sure that we're clear. What else you got, Ron?
Right. I've got Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Woman of her word. Went to the Marine Corps ball with Lance Corporal Jared Heyshert in South Carolina on Friday night. That was nice of her.
Yeah.
Photos look great. The two of them seem very happy together.
I think anyone would have forgiven her for not going.
Oh, yeah.
Would have been understandable. Right? Yeah, recovery.
Yeah, if she had gone underground for a while and just sort of licked her wounds, we would understand. But no, she was great. She lived up to her word. She promised to go, and she did. She was all smiles, according to onlookers, and happily posed for photos with members of the military and all their dates, so she made a lot of people's night very, very special by being there. I thought that was very cool.
We talked to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com earlier, and they had spoken with her, and she said, I needed to get out of the house. Otherwise, I'd just be sad sitting on my couch eating ice cream.
Yeah.
So it's good that she's coming out of her shell a little bit.
Sounds like an awesome night.
It really does.
I would like to sit on my couch and eat some ice cream for a while. Tonight, a little programming note. If you, like me, are enamored with Adele. Live in New York City is the name of the special. It's premiering tonight on NBC.
Adele does
it. It was filmed about a month ago at Radio City Music Hall and features every song off her new album, 25, along with some of her other big hits like Rolling in the Deep. And if you're not near a TV tonight, you can also stream the show for free at NBC.com, but I will be checking it out tonight.
Can't Maybe wait. She'll finally sell some of that 25.
Oh, I hope she moves a couple records. I feel bad for the kid. She can't seem to catch
a
break.
She's practically begging right now at this point to get people to listen to her music.
She's still at number one, by the way. And I think she's closing in on 7 million in sales.
Wow. Also, if you missed the announcement, she's going to be playing in Los Angeles, what, 5-6 nights?
6 nights at
the Forum.
Staples in August.
In August.
Staples.
Staples. My bad.
You too?
That
want to get
well.
Your story straight, please?
You too's going to be there?
Oh, for God's sake.
They're from Canada.
Don't bogart that joint.
No,
nope.
It's Monday.
What?
It's Monday.
Oh, can't be. It's not possible.
It's only Monday.
Ah, no.
This
no.
feels that way because we were up
no.
working the weekend.
Mommy, right. make it stop. It's Mommy, all, make it stop.
It's all good. Except for the pigtails.
Today's celebrity birthday is all-time low singer Alex Gaskarth, which is a exceedingly difficult name to pronounce. He is 28 years old today. Change your name, Alex.
We just go with Alex.
Singer Vanessa Hudgens. She is 27 years old today. And my old buddy Ginger Lynn celebrates her 52nd birthday today.
Debbie Likey.
Oh.
See.
You just.
See.
Bad.
Mother of God.
Right. Chip. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, so now I tell you about tomorrow's show, and we're going to have Mr. Skin on the program.
Oh, no!
And so that's fine without daddy likey guy over here. But it's going to be ugly quick.
No, it's not. Mr. Skin is a great American.
Yes, he is.
He
fine.
Is
great.
Doing the Lord's work.
Right.
He's the second best human.
I'm not worried about him.
Oh, I love. I always look forward to our skin interviews.
We're going to get a lot of him at all tomorrow.
It's a lot of fun.
He's very skin interesting.
Yes. It's all of those things.
I wonder which scenes he's skincluded this year.
Why don't you be me on the interview? Oh.
Yes, please. Top 10 bean tweets.
Tomorrow.
Wow, you guys are really piling on now.
Bean-rific.
Jimmy Kimmel will join us, as will Santa Carl.
Santa
both,
both. Come
in
by
one place.
That's
oh, correct,
that's fantastic.
Yes.
That's nice.
And more tickets for you to see Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Speaking of which, I'm going to open the video vault tomorrow. We're going to take a look at the Star Wars holiday special since it is that time of year and the movie's coming out. I thought it'd be fun to revisit Life Day with the Wookiees.
Life Day with the Wookiees.
You heard me.
Can't wait. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.